Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
I poured it in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops.
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Beer is fine.
God damn it, man. Oh, my God.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
What am I doing in my life?
You know, I think that whoever sits in the Justin seat, it's like the Mark of Cain, if everyone watches Supernatural.
No.
Okay, great. Well, just pretend that everybody does.
Okay.
And, you know, whoever has the Mark of Cain just gets super, you know, all aggro and, like, wants to kill everybody. And I think that's what this seat does. That's why I think Justin has lost his mind over the years.
Okay. I think it's a really comfortable seat.
It's the most comfortable ever.
Yeah. As a huge fan of Supernatural, I totally know what you're talking about.
Thank you very much, Warren. Yeah. I can always count on you to turn my life around.
Well, yeah. Look, if you couldn't rely on Warren...
Warren. Don't be such a Warren.
If you couldn't rely on Warren, who could you rely on? Because it'd be all you, buddy.
Yeah, so, okay, there is nobody else in the studio except for the three voices that you hear. Tasty is at the Craft Brewers Conference. I don't know why.
Right.
Justin is at the Craft Brewers Conference, but it starts, like, on Thursday, so there's nobody here. Which is fine. I don't care. Whatever.
How come we're not there?
I don't know that.
I'm not trying to go to that.
Well, I know Tasty paid his own way, and Jay's there, I imagine, to, like, I don't know, get contacts and try to book interviews and, like, actually do... No, I'm sorry. They're broadcasting the World Beer Cup Awards.
Okay, but why is Tasty there?
I don't know. That's his... I mean, he's a over 21 male. He can do whatever he wants, I guess.
Mm.
But I got the email like 3:30 today. I'm not going to be there. You motherfucker. And we have a great show. We have Denny and Drew on, our good old friends, to talk about their new book. What is it? Homebrew All-Stars.
Is it just an autobiography?
It's an autobiography. That's what it is.
It should be.
Yeah. No, they talked to 25 influential, I think it's 25, influential homebrewers from across the world, actually. And just talking about what they've done differently in how they've developed their brew house and the things that they do develop their recipes and actually give you guys some tips and some recipes as well, because let's be honest, you can't ever have enough recipes.
Right.
So we're going to be chatting with them, and it's cool. I mean, I really wish that we had a couple more people who actually homebrew in here, but, you know, that's fine.
I have before.
I've done it as well, but I haven't in a while.
Both times.
So are you
actually,
in the book?
When we brewed, it was fine. It was drinkable.
It was,
but you just didn't come and get it for like 3 months,
yeah,
and then it was a Kolsch.
It was not drinkable.
And you're like, no, this isn't very good.
I was letting it lager.
Oh.
No, you were letting it linger at that point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you have to let it linger?
What?
Okay, we got Jewel over there. Anyway, it is still going to be a cool show, but as a result, there is no live stream tonight. So if you're trying to poke around on the old internets for the video camera of the empty studio, it's the camera is with, or the computer that we use to broadcast is in Justin's bag. He has to, you know, use it. So there is no camera tonight. There's no live stream. But hey, look, it's just like old times, man. You gotta flip on the website and listen to us now, or podcast, or you know, whatever, however you hear us. But you can't see us. So we're a lot like Warren right now.
Right. You're welcome, guys.
Yeah. Warren's like an amoeba where he can just tell like shades of light and dark. Right?
Right.
That's how it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Once I'm in a dark room, I know it's time for bed.
Right. Or your eyes are closed. You don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Or there's a solar eclipse.
That really messes me up.
Oh man. Okay, let's get some paid here real fast. Before we get started, before we get too deep down this train wreck here, I want to thank More Beer. They are the exclusive sponsor of the session here, the Monday session. Literally since before we started, they're good people. They're handsome people. Most of them are mostly handsome. A couple really good-looking men and women over there. So check them out, morebeer.com. They'll have everything you need to make great beer at home. Is that Brendan? Yeah, what's going on, man? Come on in if you want. Isn't that our Aussie friend? Isn't he Aussie, or is he just a guy and we just don't know?
He is Aussie.
Because you know that guy's standing 15
looks
feet
the
away.
Same. Everybody looks the same. You notice that? Like, once you get, if you're white and you're over the age of, like, 35, you look identical.
Right.
To me, anyway.
And if you're standing more than 4 feet away from me, everybody looks the same.
Hey, that blob! I know
that
blob!
Hey, that looks like a human.
Yeah, that's a human shape.
Yeah.
I get it. So not only support More Beer, but support everybody that you hear over the next hour and a half, let's be honest. You know, because we literally wouldn't be here without their support. It means a lot. It means a lot to us. It means a lot to them. These people are spending a lot of money, so you can spend a lot of money, and that's always a good thing. So help keep us on the air by getting us people, and help keep our sponsors in business, man. I'd appreciate it. It goes a long way. You can also support us by going to Amazon and doing your Amazon shopping via our link. You can, if you haven't bookmarked it already, you can go ahead and hit up the website and go through the Amazon. We have a little banner ad or whatever there. You click on that, filters you through Amazon. We get a little cut. Everyone's happy. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So do it. And go to the store, buy some hella sick merch.
Hella sick.
And that's about it. I don't know. Donate. You can donate. Become a recurring donor. And what we do is, if you are a recurring donor, every month we enter you into a drawing, from More Beer for a $100 gift certificate.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good, man.
Yeah,
$100. What would you do if you had $100 to spend on a homebrew shop, especially one like More Beer?
I'd probably get a couple sacks of grain,
at least. Right.
Right. Bulk grain.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to go every time I'm brewing.
I would get 2 sacks of bulk grain, but I would have the millet.
Why?
Because I like moths.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like moths and weevils and shit like that. I'm stoked on that.
I would buy the beer that they have already bottled and ready to go.
Oh, see, that's smart.
That's a Push Eject's homebrew system.
Right.
Yeah. Because you know how I homebrew now? I get in my car and I go to the store and I buy beer and then I drink it. It's already ready. It's amazing.
You take it home.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. No, I think he just gets drunk at the store.
More power
to
him.
That eliminates one more step that you don't have to do.
Yeah. Rajneesh is like, hello, Charlie. All right. What do you got for me? I got your bed set up in the back. Anyway, let's do.
Sorry.
I think his liquor store guy is called Rajneesh, so I'm not being stereotypical.
Stereotypical?
Stereotypical. I'm not being that either. Let's do some feedback.
Don't be a moron.
I'll try not to, man. I appreciate it. Where'd my friggin' feedback go, dude? What the fuck? There it is. You're going to have that made into a t-shirt?
I hope so. That'd be so great.
Don't be a moron.
Don't be a moron.
Feedback is brought to you today by the Beer Law Center. You can hit up John at the Beer Law Center if you have anything to trademark or copyright. And if you do, if you have a logo, if you have a business, and I imagine you want to protect your logo, well, John can help you out with that. And he will scour the internet looking for people who are contesting your trademark. and he will sue the shit out of them. He doesn't screw around. No, he helps us protect our trademarks, man, and he does a really good job at it. He's very nice, too. He's
very nice.
He's not like super lawyery and use a bunch of words that no one can understand. He talks to you like you're a brewer.
Hey, stop it.
Yeah. He's like, no, that's bad. Don't do a bad.
Right.
That's a bad.
No. That's a no-no.
And we win all the time because I think the other team's lawyer is like, what the? This guy's crazy.
Right.
I think I'm just going to let this one go.
Just got out-lawyered.
Yeah. So hit up beerlawcenter.com. Check John. He's a good dude. This is from Corey from Iowa. He says, Justin, you carpet fermenting no talent hack. I'm a podcast listener that was just up listening to the show. Listening to the shower, he says. I'm going to read this.
Okay.
Just like he wrote it.
Okay? He was up listening to the shower.
I'm a podcast listener that was just up listening to the shower starting at the beginning, working my way forward in time to present, until to my dismay, I went to download the podcast after Shipyard, and what do I find? It's all gone. Oh, why? He has four question marks. I've been brewing for 2 years and have been all grain since Brew 2 because I found your show. I know I'm out of date and still living in the past, but will the old podcast be coming back? 2 question marks. Thank you.
Wow.
First of all, you could probably turn your shower off when you're not using it.
Sounds like a voice, like he was voice emailing.
Do people do that?
Really?
I do that when I email you. Notice the non-punctuation in all of my emails and the misspelled words.
But so do you think he went, why, oh, why, ?
I do that sometimes. If I'm voice texting, I'll be like,
why?
What up, bra? !
Actually, I do that too.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Corey, I don't really know what you're talking about. What podcast?
The one after Shipyard.
These are the assumptions. It's the session you're talking about. And then everything after Shipyard is gone. Everything before Shipyard is gone.
Did Justin delete them in iTunes?
I don't think he would. So I hate iTunes. I tried to go into iTunes, figure it out. I can't. I don't know how people use iTunes. I cannot hate it enough. I use Stitcher.
I'll look on my telephone.
Please do. On your portable pocket computer?
Yep.
Right. Anyway, you let me know how that goes, Bo.
I'm on it.
Thank you. This next one is from Tim from Benicia.
Oh, that's kind of close.
Yeah, he says, Dear Brewcasters, I've been listening for about 8 months now. Jeez, take a fucking break, dude. And homebrewing for a year and a half.
Thank you.
You guys have kept me sane since my son was born with his guts on the outside of... No, that's... I made that.
What?
I'm just kidding. You guys have kept me sane since my son was born and haven't been able to brew quite as much. Not only that, the few beers I've brewed since discovering this session have been not only drinkable, but somewhat delicious.
Whoa.
Oh, somewhat.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's getting up there, man. All that being said, I am not writing in to stroke you guys too much, but to complain, as most everyone does. For a few weeks, I've had the same problem as everyone else and couldn't find any new shows past the Pizza Port episode. Corey, take notes. This is how you actually convey a thought in an email. Okay. Then one day, they showed up at a random spot in the archives just after the 7/15/15 Cellar Maker show. I was happy to catch up on all current episodes. The only problem is, now I can't see any shows older than that 7/17/15 show.
He is correct.
I was making my way in reverse order through the archives. I was back to midway through 2013, about to start the Brendan Moylan episode with the Martian I had been hearing about. Anyway, whatever help you guys can be would be awesome. I would love to continue listening to the archives as well as staying up to date with current episodes. That way I don't fall asleep at the wheel to and from work. Tim says, P.S. Please bring the banjo song that went with feedback, if for no other reason to hear Doc say kick ass along with Cartman every single time. It's not going to be every single time because that would mean that Doc would have to be here.
Right, he wouldn't say it this time.
He wouldn't have said it this time, that's for sure. Yeah, Tim, I agree with you. I'm still trying to find that song. No, I'm not. But I should start on that. As far as the archives, I don't know. Thank you for the eloquent email. I will send that on to Justin and see if we can get that fixed. I don't necessarily know.
Yeah, he's right. I'm looking at the feed right now, and he's right. He's absolutely right. They're all gone. They gone.
They gone? All right. Well, that sucks.
So we're going to have to figure that out.
The ghost of Steve Jobs.
That's probably true. Oh, man, dude. So May 1st was Greek Easter.
Why do you need your own Easter?
Because Christ died for Greek people's sins, not for
separately?
Anybody else. Yeah, separately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't even believe that.
I know. That's true. No, man, I had Greek Easter, and it was amazing. I overate on lamb twice.
In the same day?
In the same day, because I have two. You know, we're Greeks. We have two families, of course. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I had the most amazing Sunday. It was amazing. So, you know, Christos Anesti, right? You know what I'm trying to say?
No.
Okay.
I don't know Greek.
No, but my nephew got one of those Traeger smokers.
Oh, yeah. Those things are great.
Dude, and he smoked these two, lamb butts. I don't know. They were, like, wrapped in, like,
the
netting or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, two of those fucking things.
Yeah.
Smoked the shit out of the butt. And yeah. It was delicious. It was amazing. It was the best lamb I've ever had.
Did you have a spanakopita or whatever?
I had spanakopita.
That is?
Had the nomades. Mm. Had these awesome little cookies called Mello Makukalakas or whatever they're called. I don't know. I should have brought one for you, but they're too delicious. My Aunt Mary made them. I don't know. I just wanted to brag, dude, that I had a friggin' epic Greek Easter, and then we went to my cousin's house and did it all over again.
Do you hunt for eggs?
No,
Greek Easter?
No, the Greeks, like,
no,
you
Greek
you like
Easter sounds legit.
You hand them out, but there were eggs.
Oh, you just give them to each other?
Yeah, and then you like I don't know, maybe Anglos do this too, maybe heathens do this too, where like you find the egg and then you like try to break them, like you egg battle. You ever done that?
No.
Where like you take the pointy ends of the eggs and you like smash them together. Like,
and whoever breaks first loses.
Yeah, and then whoever doesn't break, you get luck. You get luck for the rest of the year.
Are they raw eggs?
No, they're hard boiled, dummy.
Oh, I don't. Oh. I'm not Greek.
Well, yeah. But
okay. I'm just gonna stop you there.
Yeah.
You're playing an egg fighting game and just called war and dummy.
Well,
first of all, it's war on.
War on.
I do love me a good sitar.
Is this Greek?
Yeah, man. Oh. This is Anifala Thavnisia.
Of course.
Yeah, the song Amorganis.
Okay.
Yeah, from the album Legaki.
Okay. Is that an Easter song?
I don't know, man. Whatever. Just wanted to talk about my heritage for a second. Is that wrong?
Yeah, get in touch with your roots.
Get in touch with my roots. Whatever.
I didn't celebrate Greek Easter yesterday.
You didn't celebrate? No. Well, because you're not Greek, dude.
Oh. That's right.
I do. Before we go, let's see. We should do a live read here. The Homebrew Label Awards. Folks at Grog Tag, you know, they put on the Homebrew Label Awards. We talked about those things for a while. Last year was the first annual, and I can say first annual because it's okay to use first annual, by the way. You don't have to use inaugural. It's either or.
That's okay?
It's okay. I looked it up.
Well, does it only make it okay now that they're having a second annual?
No, it made it. If you plan on making it annually, like doing it annually, uh-huh. You can use first annual.
Do you have to go back and change it if you don't end up actually doing the second one?
No, because I don't think no one cares because you're not trying to push the thing that you already that you're not going to do another one of. You kind of be like, oh fuck it, I'm just going to go kill myself because my thing didn't work.
All right.
I mean, that's me.
Right. That's why you're never going to do first annual anything.
That's right. So this year is the second annual Homebrew Label Awards. If you have an awesome custom label for your custom homebrew, and if you are the envy of your creatively challenged friends, you should prove that shit. Enter your original label in the 2016 National Homebrew Label Awards competition. Not only is this the largest online label competition in the world, as far as we know, but this year there are over $5,000 in prizes up for grabs. Head over to homebrewlabelawards.com and enter your label. Or, if you don't have one, if you're dumb like me, you can vote on your favorite if you just want to pass along some judgment on people. The deadline for entry is May 20th, so act now. The sooner you enter, the more votes you get. Who knows? Your label might go on to fame and glory. Homebrew Label Awards last year was fun, man. I had a good time doing it. And I highly recommend you guys just... if you look, like they're saying, right? If you aren't a very good artist, if you don't really know what a good live or what a good label is from a terrible label, just check them out. Check out all the artwork. There's some pretty funny ones up there, man. And vote. Vote early. Vote often.
Right. You get more than one.
I think you do, right? Yeah, I think you do. And then you can, like, share it. So then you put it up there, and that's the key, is you share that on Facebook, and you tell all your friends or your homebrew club.
Oh, right. Get all your friends to vote.
And then they just vote, too, and then you kind of skyrocket, man. Maybe throw them a beer gun if one of your friends helps you out or not.
Right. So the more popular you are,
the more likely you are
to win.
Which is pretty much life.
Right. Just be popular.
Bev, why don't you be popular, dude?
I am popular.
Thank you. All right, it's the session, everyone. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Drew and Denny about their new book, Homebrew All-Stars.
And maybe even do a Twitter game.
Maybe. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamil Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version, too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever-so-subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff, Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Casters are back.
888-401-BEER.
Whatever.
All right, thanks for hanging out, everybody. Bev's salivating over her chalky bickies from our Australian friends here.
I'm so excited.
I'm surprised you haven't torn them open yet.
I was actually really just thinking about it. I'm like...
Do it! Who cares?
But I don't want to share them.
I'm not going to eat one.
No.
Warren might.
If you're... Okay.
I don't give a shit, dude.
Half.
You do you.
You're working for the Brewing Network right
now.
Who cares about the Hop Grenade staff?
What about them?
Yeah. They're here.
I'm opening them.
Do it. Warren, I apologize. I forgot about the Twitter game.
Well, you did.
I did. So why don't you go run through that? Do we have a Twitter game today, Warren?
No, actually.
Oh, fuck. That sucks.
But if we did, you could say who it was brought to us by.
The Twitter game is brought to you today by Ears Up Podcast and Covey Ears.
Wow.
Yes, I'm running the show. I don't care.
New sponsor.
Go to earsuppodcast.com and then you go to getcoveyears.com and support JP in his quest to buy his own private island and get the hell out of here.
Wow.
What's the Twitter game?
That's a good quest.
Thank you.
Well, in an effort to expand the BN's audience, we're actually looking into creating a new line of pull string dolls.
Pull string dolls?
Yeah, you know, like the dolls that have the string on the back and you pull it and it says something informative and sometimes witty.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
We're coming out with a line of dolls in order to appeal to a new, younger audience for the next generation of BN listeners.
Okay, pull string dolls.
Yeah, so we just need to know what they're going to say.
Okay, are they going to be replicas of us? Like,
right.
Are they going to, like, be fashioned after us? Or are they going to be... Okay, all right.
Yeah, so, I mean, in case you ever want to get a miniature JP to your five-year-old,
right.
What do you want little JP to impart on your child?
First of all, let's clean up the language a little bit, because that is kind of weird ground that you're standing on.
I'm sitting.
Oh, shit.
But,
I don't know. I'm just kidding. Okay, what... pull string dolls.
Yeah.
BN pull string dolls.
Right. What are we going to say to all the little kids out there?
Hopefully not much.
Hopefully.
Because they are our future and we don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah. Don't pull this string until you're 18.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, especially for me.
For JP,
Mike in
yeah.
the chat room wins.
Why?
Suck a dick, bro.
All right. What does he win?
Oh, my God.
Eat your chalky bickies?
Yep. She's eating it.
It's so good.
It's just like a cracker with chocolate, right?
No, it's the best ever.
You're drunk. She's drunk already.
Oh, wow.
On Aussie chocolate.
If I had a giant glass of Cabernet right now, I'd be done.
Yeah?
I'm retiring.
You'd be gone?
Happy she gone.
No,
they're like crackers, but then there's like a moussey chocolate in the middle.
In the middle.
Mm-hmm. And then they're dipped in dark chocolate. Oh.
Get it right on the mic there,
bro. Wow.
Well, with us on Skype, we have Drew and Denny. Are you guys with us?
Hi.
Hola.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
Excellent.
Have you had chocolate bickies?
Have you guys had these chalky bickies we've been talking about?
How do we say it?
What, and they're Australian?
Yeah, they're like they're just chocolate covered crackers with more chocolate inside. They're diabetes in a box.
It's so good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not allowed to have cookies anymore.
Yeah, Drew weighs like 10 pounds now.
And I'm honorary Australian, so I might have had them.
They're Tim Tams. what they're called.
Oh, yeah, I've had those.
There you go. Huh. Bev is...
I would talk, but my mouth is full.
Bev is overindulging.
There might be one left in the back.
Yeah, there might be. And there's 24 in a box, so she just scarfed them.
Don't judge me.
Anyway, guys, we're not here to talk about Bev's eating habits. We're here to talk about Homebrew All-Stars with the world famous, I assume that's correct, world famous Denny Kahn and Drew Beecham.
For a certain definition of the world, yes.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, as long as... It's very limited. We're world famous.
Yeah, in my world, and that's all that really matters.
Okay,
and JP, that's all that matters to me.
Thank you. See, that's why I had you on, Drew. It's because you know how to kiss my butt. When did this book come out? It's really new, right?
Relatively? Yeah, it literally just came out. I think it started officially shipping today.
Oh wow! Okay,
hot off the press.
Wow, that's nice, man.
We're super excited about it. It's been in the works for a little over a year now.
Yeah, about okay. that. It seems longer.
Maybe that's why I thought it already came out, because I on Facebook you guys have been talking about it, and I think it's pretty cool because you are asking just normal PUD like me opinions on stuff. You know, like what should
maybe
be in
not
the book?
You, JP.
Well, no, not me specifically, but
because this is All Stars.
You know,
it's about All-Stars.
It's about
like
All-Stars, yeah.
Experimental homebrewing. Just like experimental homebrewing of the book before, we kind of like don't really want to tell people how to brew, yeah. You know? John's got that covered. So what we like to do is present them with a whole bunch of options and let them decide what works for them.
I like that. I like, so you're not necessarily talking to people. You're just having a conversation about the same thing, about the same topic.
Yeah, because when you think about it, you can stick five homebrewers into a room, give them a problem to tackle. They'll come up with nine ways to do it.
Yeah.
At least seven of which are probably right.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
But the beer will still be cloudy when it comes out. That's just a guarantee.
Yeah. So you know, we had all these friends and other people that we'd heard about that have all this really interesting information, and we wanted to gather it together. But to try and make it somewhat coherent, we kind of like divided everybody into archetypes, like you know, the scientists and process nerds, and gear geeks, and stuff like that. So you can like look through it and find somebody who thinks like you do, and kind of spend a brew day with them. And you know, as Drew likes to say, it's the only homebrewing book ever to incorporate Jungian philosophy.
I don't even know where to start with that. I'm going to skip that statement.
I don't know what that means.
Yingling. You ever had Yingling, the beer?
Oh, the beer, yeah.
Yeah,
Yingling philosophy?
No.
I think that's great because, you know, Drew and I were chatting a little bit before the show, and there are certain people, you need to have a certain set of screws loose to be a home brewer and to be successful at it, to enjoy that process. But in different spots, there definitely are different personality types. As homebrewers, as commercial brewers, but I feel like homebrewers are a special part of that equation. They're just different enough to ignore their entire like real life and focus just on homebrewing. Like it is their reality. That's their hobby. And I like that you guys broke them down. You're dangerously close to having some sort of personality test that you can fill out in 100 years, and then it will like pair you with the homebrew club that best. It's like Harry Potter.
Well, be Harry you're Potter. Close. That's right at the end of chapter one is the personality test.
Yeah, it is. You know, it was heavily inspired by like the Facebook shit, like which hobbit are you? You know, that kind of thing.
Which hobbit are you? I'm the one who didn't die.
Yeah, right.
Yet.
Right. I do like the personality thing. I think it's really cool. What else I like about the book so far is that you guys, it seems like you're talking to people who already brew, but you still go through, you call it the homebrewing process in a nutshell. Why tackle that thing that, you know, pretty much you're assuming everybody already knows in the first place?
It's required by federal law.
Is it really?
Yeah, I mean, I laid out there right at the beginning of the chapter, you know, a little-known provision of the 1979 law that legalized homebrewing at the federal level required that every homebrewing book have a how-to chapter in it.
No.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you read the law?
No. Yeah. I barely read my name when I woke up this morning.
And people wonder why this country's going to shit.
Wow. Look at Drew. Drew's going to build a wall between me and him.
If you don't read the laws, you don't know your rights.
I don't read laws older than I am. So.
No, they're not any older than I am. So.
Right. Denny pounded the parchment out to write that law down.
Right. That's right. No, really, we do it at least partially because we want to let people know what we think is kind of like important about the brewing process and kind of how we do it ourselves. And I'll add, that the brewing scenes in the book were set up by Marshall Schott, the brewlosopher, in his home brewery.
Yeah.
And his wife, Laura, did the photography.
Very nice. Yeah, we've had Marshall on the show. We're going to have him on, I think, in a couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah, he's coming back.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, they're wonderful people. We have him on our podcast every once in a while, too, just to talk science shit.
He's cheating on us?
Yeah, what's that about?
I think Marshall
no, he's
just
cheating
is a,
on us.
Yeah, he's just a big believer in free knowledge.
That's just what it is. Yeah. It's like, hey, man, why not? I'm going to go to this other podcast and talk about my shit.
There you go.
No, I like it. Actually, it's good. I think homebrewing needs that kind of thing to kind of grow up a little bit. Not that it's infantile or whatever, but in order to progress, in order for us to be able to make the best beer that we can at home, we need to sort of debunk these myths, although he doesn't like really calling it like the Mythbusters of the homebrew world. But in a way, it kind of is. I don't care what he says. We kind of grow up with this thing from the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s and all these kind of homebrew mainstays about what you do and don't do and we need to be told if they actually matter or not.
Yeah, and truthfully, it's just fun.
And it's just fun at the end of the thing. But I think that's what you guys are kind of getting at, and we were talking about a little bit before, Drew, is that it takes a certain kind of person to think that that is fun. You know what I mean? It really does. It takes a certain nut bar to think that mixing a bunch of stuff and letting it soak and then adding little bugs to it and drinking the result is a good thing to do.
Yeah, it really is kind of a special form of damage.
An hour
it is,
cleaning
man, but,
and scrubbing.
It's so hip these days, too. It's the whole maker culture thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys up in Oregon, you know all about that.
Well, that among other things.
Like what?
Yeah, what's that supposed to mean, Denny?
Well, Denny's got a chicken coop now.
Oh. I do have a chicken coop now. I have a nice little garden and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, you've retired, folks, man.
It's a tasty garden.
Retired. Retired. Oh. Yeah,
you grow cookies.
Well, in a way, yeah, right. No, man, I'm retired in name only. Things are really hot. As a matter of fact, I have to get up at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning because I'm off to CBC in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Get back from that for a while, and then we go to NHC for the Denny and Drew show, two performances.
you guys are talking to NHC this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're actually desperate enough that they're having us speak twice.
Did you approach them on bended knee, or they're like, well, the substitute list is falling apart. I'm going to have Drew and Denny on.
Yeah, last year we did one talk in a 300 capacity room, and this year we're doing two talks in an 800 capacity room. So,
jeez.
Well, I think it's because people heard I was bringing my ukulele, and they're curious to see what kind of disgusting damage I'll inflict on myself.
You're stepping up the production level this year.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. There will be live music, and I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah. You know,
Denny's ukulele brings all the boys to the talk room.
And they're like, I'm plugging my ears. And
yeah. So anyway, back to this book.
Yeah.
You know, there are some really fascinating people in it. And one that I'm really excited about because of the fact that nobody probably will have heard of him is a guy from Norway named Lars Garshall, who is kind of like the Alan Lomax of Northern European beer, travels around meeting people and recreating hundreds of years old family recipes with hundreds of year old yeast that the families have been keeping.
What?
How does he do that?
They're just these farmhouses in like Norway.
Okay, and
they have the yeast on these special sticks, and they just have this process they've handed down over in the family time and time and time and time again.
And so they're just brewing beer on their farm,
personal use.
Yeah, it's actual farmhouse brewing as opposed to say saison.
Okay.
and he's not as much a brewer as he is a historian, so he gets together with other people who brew to recreate this stuff. And there, you know, he goes into a lot of detail about the techniques, and there are some recipes in the book and stuff. And this is stuff that most people have not seen before. It's really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at his chapter right now, and he's talking about a lot of the beers that he's brewing have a mash of like 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
I thought that, see, now to me that flies in the face of a lot of what we've been taught as homebrewers is that conversion is really 15, 20 minutes, and then you're talking about sugar solubility or whatever. But 3 to 4 hours, is that actually doing anything, or is it so they can go feed the chickens and milk the cows and then come back and finish brewing?
Remember that they didn't have access to the modern commercial malts that we have with super high diastatic power. These guys were probably making their own, so it could very well have taken 3 or 4 hours for them to convert.
Oh, you mean they're taking their own grain and malting it themselves?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
These days, they're using the same malts that we are, but... Yeah. I mean, also, let's face it, your family's been doing this thing for 100 years. Do you want great-grandma to come rise up out of the grave and smack you upside the head because you did it wrong?
Not me, boy.
Maybe. I don't know. I miss her. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's pretty cool. We need more beer historians, man. I think that's neat, and we've been doing this long enough, you know, where I think we need to key into that kind of stuff.
Right. And yeah, and then besides Lars, we have the relatively normal people in the book like Tasty and Palmer.
Well, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves with that.
Normal?
Well, I said relatively. I qualified that.
Speaking of crazy people, you have Annie Johnson in there too.
Sure do.
2013 homebrewer of the year.
Yep, and Pilsner Urquell, master homebrewer too, man. That woman rocks.
Yeah, she's awesome, man. She's really great. Yeah. What kind of stuff does she talk about in that book?
Most of what Annie's talking about in the book, aside from her fantastic lager recipes, is she's actually talking about her love of book hunting for knowledge and all the various places that she draws brewing stuff from.
Okay. All right. I like it, man.
So, and that was the whole point. The whole idea with each of these individual all-stars that we were featuring was not only just to kind of give us an excuse to hang up the scaffolding of different personality types, but it was also kind of inspired by when I first started brewing, I ran around to a lot of different people in my homebrew club and just basically invited myself into their breweries to go, hey, so how do you do this thing that you do? And, you know, I picked up a lot of lessons, some of which I still, you know, all these years later, I still brew that way because it's part of what I learned from these people.
Yeah, totally.
And so one of the hopes that we had was, okay, great, with this book, we want to go find these people, and they're not just big award winning meddling competition type people, you know, with clangy chest after the end of NHC.
Yeah.
They are people that we think are all stars for various reasons, and mostly because we think they have an interesting point of view or a lesson to teach. And that was one of the real keys was we wanted you to read one of these interviews with one of these guys or girls and come out the other side having had a lesson from them as if though that you were brewing with them. It was something that you'd be able to pick up while you were hanging out with them.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, which is important because, you know, there's we can't really get together all the time. And, you know, there's the internet we can keep in touch with. But people are doing their own thing and they're learning what works for them. And what works for them may actually work for you, may work better for you than what you're doing. And the only way to know that is to hang out and brew with someone. And unfortunately, we can't all just hang out and brew together. But I think that's awesome. I think that's a great way to get people, you know, unified is through this book and really get to the core of what makes people brew the way that they do.
Yeah. And it really, it's just, I thought it was really great. We went to these people and we said, hey, you know, give us a lesson, but we don't want you to give us a lesson of. So yeah, in order to make my beer, I make a starter. All right, we cover that. We have all that in the front of the bar.
We get that, yeah.
But we really said, no, we want you to come up with something that's uniquely you. And it took a while with some of the folks because they didn't really think they had something to share that was like that. And so Denny in particular, who's very, very good at staying on top of people and bugging them repeatedly.
You know how obnoxious I am.
That's true. That's true.
And so we slowly teased it out of some people where at first they're like, I don't know why you want me to do this. This doesn't make any sense. And I think we ended up getting some really great lessons and some things that are kind of outside the normal, like Jeff Gladish out of Tampa, Florida, who is an award winner and does a lot of really cool things. He's also really known for smoked beers and particularly beers that he does using malt that he smoked himself.
Okay.
So his lesson in the book
is smoker.
Yeah.
Denny's still blown away by it.
So cool. I'm sorry. I just had to jump in there because it's so neat.
What is it? What's neat about it?
It looks like a homebrewer's concoction, like
okay.
You know,
all right.
Like Denny's mash tun. But all right, just it's really awesome.
Okay. Is there a photo of it in the book?
There
several.
Sure is.
Okay.
And instructions to build. Yeah, basically, he converted an old Weber grill and some furnace duct into this incredible malt smoker.
It's a furnace. Great. It works, man.
I mean, yeah, it's so homebrewer. It's perfectly cool, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a midget's outhouse with ducting added to it.
For you got to drop the number twos, man.
Exactly.
And so how long did you have to hang out with all these people in order to find their weird little quirk? Were you just living with them for 2 weeks?
Well, it depends. How long did they know we were there?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Their bushes are comfortable. No,
they only knew one of you guys were there.
Yeah. A lot of it was because we know these guys and girls ahead of time and kind of knew what to ask them. And a lot of it was through repeated email prompting. We would send out questionnaires and have them take surveys and stuff like that. And the dreaded clam chowder saison was born of this project because
I think I had that beer.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Wasn't that at NHD last
year? What's wrong with you, dude?
Yep.
You know, my favorite quote was Mike Tonsmeyer, who said, you know, if I had to make a clam chowder saison, this is how I'd do it. but no, people were kind of taking a while getting them back in. So I said that if they didn't hurry up, Drew would unleash a Manhattan clam chowder saison on the world.
And I'm from a long line of New Englanders. So the idea of Manhattan clam chowder is anathema to my soul. And I said, hell no, Denny. If I'm going to brew a clam chowder saison, it's going to be a New England style clam chowder saison.
Oh.
And hey, by the way, I know that you had to fly through LA before we go to Brazil this year. So we're going to brew it.
Yeah.
That's gross.
And so I stopped at Drew's house on the way to Brazil. Palmer came over to help out. We have pictures of him stirring in the potato flakes.
Okay.
And you know, it turned out, I thought it turned out pretty damn awesome. But,
you know, I expected it to be a total gag and spit situation.
Right.
And it actually was a fucking successful experiment.
Would you do it again?
Yes.
No.
Really?
No.
Yes, no?
Yes, no.
He's,
no. He would, because he's crazy. I wouldn't, because I like to experiment, and I saw how that experiment turned out, and it's not the kind of beer you sit on your deck and have a couple pints of,
no.
But it was a damn successful experiment.
Well, you know what, and I guess there is a difference. You have to differentiate between the two. What's a successful experiment may right. not be a successfully drinkable beer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm looking at the recipe for that thing right now. Drew, so you would brew this again to drink, like just to have on tap? Like, oh, dude, tap four, man. Go for it.
Yeah. Fill up a bowl.
Get you some. Really?
Yes.
Yeah. The problem is that the clams get stuck in the taps, you know, and you kind of have to dig
it.
Yeah.
God.
That's why you put a screen in the keg. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Innovate, Denny. Why don't you know, come on, dude.
Okay.
He's too old to innovate.
You need a chocolate biscuit.
Yeah, wash this clam out of my mouth.
Bay leaf, black peppercorns, thyme, clam juice with clams. 8 ounces of clam juice in 5 gallons.
Yep. Now, here's the thing, though, is that if I didn't tell you that it had clam juice in it, you actually probably would have a really hard time knowing, which is how I like to layer in the flavors. And so what it really ended up tasting like was this sort of creamy yet dry, because it's Saison, creamy yet dry, slightly herbal, and slightly salty Saison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was extremely savory, which is why it was interesting. But that, to me, is also why it wasn't one of those things you want to have again and again and again.
I can understand why you guys would think that, both of you.
and this is also, by the way, and this is also why Denny and I make a really good partnership with these books, is because we do come at this stuff from very different angles. Like with the experimental homebrewing thing, when that first started, the publisher wanted a book that was like, you know, Radical Brewing by Randy. And it was like, no, you can't out Randy. And so we actually split it down on this thing of Denny is very much a scientist, and that's all experiments. And I'm very much kind of this culinary wackadoodle, you know, nerd. And those are experiments.
True. Yeah.
And so, you know, we took that angle, and that's the reason why that also partially feeds into the current book, because Denny is in that scientist and process geeks chapter. Yeah, because that's who he is.
Right.
But me, I'm in the innovators chapter because that's who I am.
Yeah, in the scientist and process nerds chapter, Drew had written like an introduction, kind of like describing the archetype. And one of the things he said was, you know, he can tell you what batch number 174 was. So it's like I went out, grabbed my notebook, and gave him extensive notes on batch 174. it was sweet revenge.
Yeah, when he emailed me that, I just had to roll my eyes and go, of course you do.
Right. Well, at least you guys are having fun with it, and that's pretty cool.
It's a lot of fun, man, and the podcast continues that fun. You know, we kind of like call ourselves the Car Talk of Beer, because we have that that back and forth interplay, and it really keeps us going and doing it every 2 weeks, when sometimes you go, oh fuck, I'd rather like go do something fun.
Yeah, I mean, brewing becomes a chore after a while if you're not having a gas doing it.
Yeah.
Is that a personality thing too? Are there people who get kind of gassed out early?
Yeah, there are. I mean, let's face it, this hobby draws very obsessive people to it.
Yeah.
And the people who aren't obsessive go away pretty fast. But even the people who are very obsessive, some of them just burn like jet fuel, you know, like a rocket that you've lit up. And they just burn out super quick. I've totally seen so many guys go through my homebrew club where they do their first batch of beer. Within a month, they're doing all grain. Within 2 months, they're in kegs with a fancy kegerator. And then 3 months later, they got a fancy tower or sculpture. And then in a year, they're out.
They're done. They just supernova.
Right.
Yeah.
They sold their commercial brewery for $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, somebody, please give me a check for $1 billion. I'll do whatever you want.
Drew and I say that we're probably about the only two homebrewers who have absolutely no desire to open a brewery or work in one.
Totally.
We enjoy it too much as a hobby to have to do it for a job.
Yeah, you know, my brother was asking me about that yesterday, actually. He's like, have you ever, you know, thought about doing the, you know, whatever? I'm like, dude, first of all, you need at least $1 million to do it right. Second of all, I don't like working that much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually hard work.
It's actually laborious. Like, I'll sit and think of recipes that you know, may or may not be drinkable, but I don't enjoy it enough to do it as a job. And I think you're right. I think there are a few people out there who think that they will, and then they do it, and then they find out that it's too much work. So, you know, just like homebrewers kind of supernova, I think there are commercial brewers that do the same. And we always talk about brewery openings, but we rarely talk about the brewing closures.
That's true. Because those are just kind of sad. You're like,
it's like, oh, man. It's like reading the obituaries in the newspaper.
In lieu of flowers, please send malt to.
To the new startup in the town. One of the cool things you guys included in here in the first part of the book, a lot of data, which you know, plays to your scientist, you know, whatever doohickeys, but you got a lot of stuff from the AHA, and you talked about brewing methodology. You know, if people do all grain or not, can you talk about some of those numbers? And did anything surprise you in the percentage of people who would, you know, still do extract or whatever?
Yeah, well, what I thought was really interesting, so we got a lot of general demographic data from the AHA because the AHA has done two massive surveys of the homebrewing world trying to figure out, okay, who are homebrewers, what's the best way to support them, you know, what's the best way to market to them, bring them into the fold, yada, 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 right? Because if you engage brewers in community, they tend to stick around longer, which is good for the health of the hobby.
Yeah.
And so we got a lot of that demographic data from the AHA because Denny and I both obviously have a very close relationship with the AHA.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then what we did was we actually went and commissioned our own survey, and we got about 1,000 responses to that from around the world of different people, and had them do things like, hey, self-identify, what sort of type are you? We gave them descriptions of these types and, you know, choose through and find out what you are. And what we thought was really interesting was the vast majority of our respondents were either the scientist process fanatic types or they were the innovator types. And all these other types were actually much lower.
Hmm.
Now, part of that may be because we were doing this on the internet and, you know, obsessive people who hang out on the internet are probably geeky to begin with.
Yeah.
And therefore, ooh, internet survey. I will do this.
That's true.
I thought what was really interesting to me was when we took a look and compared the data between both the All-Stars, we had the All-Stars just do the survey and separated their data out to one side, and then we had the general populace do the survey as well. We saw some what I thought were interesting trends, like the All-Stars were actually, if anything, less obsessive. So when,
oh, interesting. I would have thought the opposite.
I know, but when you would look at, like, say, the scientist type, which is easily, at least to my mind, the most obsessive type, because that's the tinker. That's the person who will sit there and brew the exact same beer again and again and again and again and again until they get it right.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Denny.
Yeah.
But these people, the regular crowd who self-identified as the process geeks, when we asked them the question, okay, so how often will you rebrew a recipe? They were very much along the lines of, like, until I get it right. But when we got into the All-Star side and we looked at the All-Star data was pretty much like, oh, I'll brew it a couple of times. And I don't know if that's a difference in obsession, a difference in skill.
Yeah.
You know, like, they don't need to brew it 900 times in order to get it right. Or if it's just, nah, this is good enough. Like, they've gotten to that relaxed stage.
Yeah.
I guess that makes me an anomaly, huh?
Yeah,
this,
you know,
is not the first time anybody said that about you.
That's true.
I know.
You know,
the thing that was surprised me was that, you know, when you talk to people, there are so many people who are, like, into the gear, you know, and the automated brewing systems and loads of stainless and stuff like that. But when we started sending out these surveys, almost nobody self-identified as that, and it was like, well, where the fuck are all those people then?
Yeah, you would think they're on the internet extolling the virtues of everything shiny, yet they're not doing your survey.
If they didn't self-identify as that, were they actually that, just in denial?
It's possible.
It could very much be.
Well, and it was funny. I mean, I think, you know what, Danny? We totally forgot to do it. If we wanted those people, we should have said, attached to the survey, a raffle for a free shiny metal plate.
A tidbit.
A screw.
Guaranteed to improve your brewing by 20%. But no, we did see a lot of this stuff where we had a lot of people identifying across multiple types, which is not surprising. And so we actually even argue about that in the book, about the fact, like, we know that one of the biggest objections anybody will have is, wait, I'm not just a process geek. Yeah, no shit, you're a human being, you're complex. We get it. Yeah. And we also had great fun where, you know, we treated that part as very scientific, you know, in terms of, like, trying to break down who these styles of people were, what the pros of that particular type were, versus what the negatives were. So, one of my favorites was writing the negatives of the traditionalist, the old school master style of person.
Okay,
because, basically, y'all suck and I want to stagnate the beer world. It's pretty much why I wrote.
Why is that?
Well, no, because there are some,
they're not pushing any sort of progression, I guess, change.
Yeah, but on the same time, the positive is that these are the same people who, because of their sort of stuck-to-itiveness with a particular style and their adherence to a tradition, preserve that tradition and keep it around while everybody else is running around making, you know, a lemon lime margarita nacho pilsner.
Yeah, oh, the good stuff.
Or clam chowder saison.
Or clam chowder saison, yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
Oh no! I had great fun writing those pieces because they were the ability to kind of step outside and take a look of, like, okay, why is this a good thing? Why is it a bad thing? And I actually forced Denny, I forced both of us to write for each of these segments why we are part of this segment as well. Yeah. Not just like why we self-identify with one thing, but what are the aspects of us that are this particular style?
Okay.
And that was fun too because that took a little bit of like. Self-reflection is hard. That's why I drink.
Hey, well, and there are some of those archetypes that we just weren't part. I mean, like, you know, I'm not a wild one. Let's face it.
Yeah. That's the archetype. The wild one. The folks who've never met a fermentation they didn't love.
That's the one, yeah. I just generally don't make that stuff. I enjoy drinking it, but it requires too much patience to make it, and it would take me forever to drink 5 gallons of it.
No, there's no way.
So I leave that to other people to do. So, you know, when you get there, instead of saying, okay, this is the part of me that is that archetype, you just say, fuck it, I ain't this one at all.
Hey, can you guys hang on a sec? I need to take a break, throw out a live read or two, and then I want to come back and wrap up with you guys. I want to talk about the quiz. I want to talk about some of the numbers that you guys found from the AHA and your stuff, because I think that's the kind of stuff that's really interesting. You guys mind? Got a bit?
No, not at all.
All right, cool. Hang on a second. All right. Kooks.
Weirdos. Archetypes.
Whenever I talk to them, I feel like I'm Sam the Eagle from the Muppets. You are all weirdos. But you know who's not weirdos? The folks at Great Fermentations. If you're looking for Blickman products, look no further than greatfermentations.com. They have the largest catalog of said Blickman products on the web. They have same-day shipping on a lot of main items that people can take up to 3 weeks to ship out. Their staff is some of the best trained in using the Blickman stuff. So, you know, if don't go anywhere else. GreatFermentations.com. They also have a coupon code now, which is cool. They have $1 shipping on all orders over $50 through the end of May 2016, excluding bulk grains, of course, because let's face it, that's really expensive to ship. The code is BNArmy50. All caps, BNArmy50.
Nice.
Check it out. All right, we're going to take a break here real fast. We'll be back with the guys from Homebrew All-Stars, Drew and Denny. Hang on, it's the session.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contracts, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing
Rocking Skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five-star treatment today.
Say hello to my little friend.
You've heard about White Labs Pure Pitch Yeast. Pure Pitch is yeast grown right in its final packaging. That means yeast that has never been exposed to the environment. And White Labs Pure Pitch Yeast for homebrewers is now available to everyone at homebrew retailers nationwide. Easy to use, perfectly sized, and ready to pitch. White Labs yeast packaged using their FlexCell process ensures the purest yeast on the market. Visit whitelabs.com to learn more about Pure Pitch, FlexCell technology, and how it's created. Then visit a homebrew retailer near you for your own perfectly sized package of Pure Pitch yeast. And you can say hello to your own little friend. www.whitelabs.com.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge Electric Mash Water Heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Brandon again from Drake's Brewing Company. We've gotten together with our friends at Bike East Bay to announce the 4th annual NorCal Session Fest on May 21st from 1 to 5 p.m. at Jack London Square.
Come hang with over 35 craft breweries as they once again prove the big flavor doesn't have to come from strong beer. And all beer at the event will be under 5% ABV. Enjoy selections of beautifully crafted, full-flavored, and super refreshing session beers by helping to support Bike East Bay's mission of bringing better, safer biking to the East Bay communities. There'll be food, a free bike ballet, and live music that will set the soundtrack for your session beer drinking good times. Tickets are just $30 and include a commemorative glass and 10 beer tasting tickets. Mark your calendars for May 21st and visit drinkdrakes.com for more information.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy.
You're tuned into this session
because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know the mics were on. I was singing along to The Wolf.
You hit the button.
I hit the button. Shit, I did. Stupid.
Sorry to give you the peek behind the... Did I break the fourth wall?
Break the fourth wall, dude. Oh, you ran right into it like the fucking Kool-Aid man.
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking Waron.
Waron.
Pull the Waron.
But you know what's not pulling a Waron, folks? It's going to be an A11. You guys are already going to be at HomebrewCon, which, by the way, watch me do two live reads at the same time.
Is that happening?
Get your tickets to HomebrewCon at homebrewcon.com. It's going to be a friggin' blast. And then what you're going to do beforehand is go to BNA 11, because that's also going to be in Baltimore as well. Excuse me, I'm choking on my beer, which is supposed to be a pale ale, but it tastes like a friggin' session IPA. Whatever. Beer systems.
What's the difference between a session IPA and a pale ale?
It's like it's hoppier and there's not a whole lot of malt. Mm. There's not a whole lot of malt to it. I don't like it. I don't know. The session IPA thing, I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm over
it. What's wrong with malt?
I don't know. Good question. After
Thank
the
you.
Break.
Thank
no,
you.
I'm kidding. BN 11, man. Tickets are on sale now, right, Bev?
Yep.
All right. You can go to...
Sorry, the microphone was over there.
Yep.
Yep.
Sure enough.
You can go to... Where is it? There's no website on here, Bev. On where you can go, how you can get tickets to BNA 11.
They're on the internet.
Oh, it's on the thing I gave you, but you can find them at Eventbrite.
The thing you get, you gave me 1,200 things. What?
Show log says Eventbrite.
BNA11.eventbrite.com. That's BNA11.eventbrite.com.
I did give you 1,100 things.
You did. It's going to, okay, so your ticket is going to get you to and from the HomebrewCon Convention Center, a commemorative BNA 11 glass. You can't have too many glasses. Unlimited tastings from all 8 breweries, which include Peabody Heights Brewery, Raven Beer, Oriole Park Beer, Monument City Brewing Company, Baltimore Brewing Company, Full Tilt Brewing, Finn City Brewing, and Antietam Brewing. Live music, Brewing Network Shenanigans, whatever those are. Tickets are limited, so please act fast to ensure you get yours. Like Jay's been saying for a couple months, we're going to have kind of a smaller party, man. So,
more intimate.
Get your tickets out. More intimate. Ooh, very good.
Come out for a night.
An intimate night.
With the DN.
I'm going to pass.
It's going to be at the Peabody Heights Brewing at historic Old Oriole Park. That's a mouthful to say.
Sound it out.
Home to 8 local brewers, and it's a co-op, I guess. Do you know anything about this setup, Ev? I have no idea.
I have a slight knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah? You want to share? Do you want to keep that to yourself?
No, I'm happy to share.
Selfish.
But if it's wrong, then sorry, brah.
Okay.
I believe we are renting out a...
It's going to be on the space shuttle.
Yeah. No, I believe we're renting out a... it is a brewery. I think we're taking up the whole brewery. And
yeah, it's like a co-op or something.
So there's going... Yeah, and they're going to be providing all the beer.
Okay.
So that's how that works.
Works great for me, man.
Me too, because I don't have to do any work.
Yeah.
So it's in a grocery store?
It's in a grocery store. It's like a Fred Meyer.
Isn't that what a co-op is?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
Only for groceries.
I don't know. I'm not a hippie.
Waron.
I just thought that's what a co-op was.
Waron. We still have Denny and Drew on the line. You guys still here, buddy, right?
Are we?
Huh? Where?
They don't wake me up.
Denny's spending too much time in his garden.
Yeah. The poppies.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to hit on a couple of things that I really dug about the book, and again, back to the archetype things. You have the quiz in here.
Yep.
You have the quiz in here.
Quiz?
What's that?
Did you take the quiz?
I haven't taken the quiz. I do want to read a couple of the questions here to Beardy and see if we can just kind of determine, maybe you, the experts, can determine from a couple of these questions which archetype he is.
Right. You really want to see inside my head?
Nope.
I don't have a flashlight. Okay, here we go, Warren. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. It's 2 a.m. on a sleepless night. To lull yourself to sleep, you begin to think about your next brew day. And these are the, so you can pick A, B, C, or D. Okay?
What I'm going to be thinking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
A, that blot of mustard on my shirt from earlier tonight reminds me a mustard beer would be interesting to try.
Nope.
B, which malt and hop should I use in my next smash beer?
Maybe. That might be it.
C, I should brew an English barley wine so I'm ready for Christmas.
Nope.
Or D, when do the fruit orchards begin to bloom this year?
B.
B. Okay.
Smash beer.
Smash beer.
Smash.
All right, let's skip to this one. In order of importance, rank these elements in terms of your brewing priorities, one being the highest priority and four being the lowest, okay?
Okay.
Developing a beer that makes people go, what?
That's not that important.
Dialing in on your brewing process.
That's important.
Using traditional techniques to make the perfect beer.
Kind of important.
Or coaxing complex characters from multiple orgasms. Microorganisms, sorry.
Mm. So you want me to put those in 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah.
Okay, so number 2 would be the most important. Then maybe the third one would be number 2.
Ah, I see what you're saying. B, C, okay.
So yeah, in order of importance, B, C, and then...
D, A. A being developing a beer that makes people go, what?
And then what was D? The
coaxing complex complex multiple orgasms.
Yeah, then definitely D and then A.
Okay. What is he? Do you guys know?
He's a scientist.
He's a scientist and process nerd. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Okay, this is you, Warren. Already, these brewers are all about the process and understanding how brewing on their system works. Experimentation and repeatability is the name of their game. They'll be able to tell you exactly what temperature their mash tun settles at, exact volumes that their system will produce, and how their fermentations respond.
Yeah, would you like me to tell you that stuff, bro?
Yes, I do. Yes, okay. I really would. Do you think they nailed you?
Yeah, not knowing what the other options are, I would put myself in that category.
Well, there's 12 questions. We can take them later. I don't want to bore everybody.
No,
but
that's fine.
Look at you guys, man.
Look at me. I'm a nerd.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, I'd be proud of it.
Warren, this means that you and Denny share some DNA.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
You can never get married.
Dad?
Yeah, Denny can't tell what he's doing either.
Right.
I was going to say, the beards are the same.
Yeah, right.
The other thing I thought was really cool, talking about numbers and stuff again, is you have this cool little pie chart, I guess, pie graph, about the most common mash types selected in your survey. I thought it was really interesting. 31% of the people that you guys surveyed, which you got, what, over 500 responders? Mm-hmm. 31% batch sparge.
Sure. Yeah, I blame Denny.
You should. I think it's his. I think it's his fault. 29% fly sparge, but what got me was 22% of people still do extract.
Hey, it's not still, man.
It's not
still.
Is it? Is that not like as antiquated as it used to be? Is it coming back? Is it like extract, Air Jordan?
Extract is a very viable way to brew. I mean, and again, look at the extract brewer in the book is Janice Gross, who is no slouch.
That's true.
And, you know, I've judged best of show rounds where extract beers have won.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
There was an extract Dunkelweizen once that just was unbelievable.
Wow.
So it, you know, a lot of it has to do with how you brew more than what you brew with.
Yep.
Even with extract.
Even with extract.
Even with extract.
Yeah, I still actually will go back and I will do an extract batch from time to time when I'm pressed for time and I got to get that brewing itch satisfied.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, before the end of summer, I'm wrapping up an article that's all about how to do extract and do it right. And I mean, really, you think about it. Stop and think about what it is that we tell new brewers are the most important things for them to worry about in terms of making great beer. We tell them worry about fermentation, temperature control, and worry about your yeast health and your sanitation.
Yeah.
You notice that all grain isn't in that top three. So it is completely possible for somebody to make some really kick-ass beer using an extract. Now, it has its limitations. But, you know, that's kind of a trade-off that some people have to make. One of the best brewers I know here in L.A., has been brewing with extract for 30 some odd years, and he makes really great beer.
I think extract can get a bad rap because that's what beginning brewers start with,
right?
And because their process, it may not be quite up to par.
Is that what
the
it
beer
is?
May not be quite up to par.
Is that all you think it is? Is just that if you have a more experienced hand using the same ingredients, you're going to get a better beer, it gets slammed because, you know, people are all thumbs when they're using it?
Yeah. I think a large part of the reputation that comes with extract is because of the newbie status of a lot of the people doing it.
I would never have thought of that as an excuse or a reason.
Yeah.
A reason here,
yeah. Hey, right. JP, I'm Irish Catholic. I come loaded with a ton of guilt and a need to find excuses everywhere I can.
Right. Well, you're doing great. It's got you a couple books, man.
I know, see?
Okay, I get it. All right, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. That's a totally valid concept to have, the extract folks.
Cool. Well, and the other one I thought was really interesting was in the mash types. There were, in the survey that we did, there were a fair number of people who responded with brew in a bag.
6%.
Yep. Now, if you go and you look at the AHA survey that had been done just before that, before we did ours, brew in a bag was like 1%. So over the course of about a year and a half, brew in the bag grew like by 5%.
And for that, I blame the Australians.
Those bastards.
I mean, really, because aren't they the ones, and look, they didn't invent the thing by any means, but every time I heard about it, it was always, I read on a forum that this guy in Australia does the brew in a bag and he does this thing. So I guess I just keyed in on that's where they brew in a bag a lot of times is in Australia. They don't like to sparge I don't even know how to do brew in a bag. I don't even know what it is.
Well, no, I just think the brewing bag is just basically steeping grains done on a massive scale, and you have to be strong enough to lift the whole damn bag.
Which is why Australians do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because they're all he-men.
They're all he-men.
Including the women.
Well, right. They gotta beat the Aborigines back and kill all the dingoes.
And the crocs.
And the crocs. That's true. And then 1% don't sparge at all, which I guess I would have thought would be a little bit higher than 1%, but I mean, the Brunabag folks got to come from somewhere.
What is the difference between not sparging and batch sparging?
Well, no, batch sparging, remember, is still sparging. It's just instead of doing a fly sparge, a continuous fly, where you're trying to equal your inflow and your outflow, batch sparge is basically, okay, drain it all, add all your sparge water, let that sit, and then drain that all. No sparge is literally what water is in the mash tun and comes out of the grains is exactly what you go with. And I'm not entirely surprised that it's it's a low percentage thing. Because when you think about it, very few people talk about it. Almost everything is all either batch sparge or fly sparge or brewing bag now.
Yeah.
And it really, in a lot of ways, where I saw the most traction for it and the most use for it was when I was making big, massive beers and I was trying to do these big barley wines without doing a lot of dilution. But there are still a lot of people out there who swear by the no sparge thing as a way to make cleaner, sweeter, more malty beers without any sort of tannic bite from the husk.
Hmm.
So.
Well, then I don't know if that's what you would call what I do, because when I'm doing a 10-gallon batch, I still use my 26-gallon kettle, but I mash with a low grist ratio to where it's like either 1 or 1.25 quarts per pound. Hmm. But then when the mash is done, I'm mashing out, I'll just add all of my sparge water all at once and do the Vorloff and then just drain it off. So would that be a no sparge or would that be a batch?
A Waron sparge.
I consider that no sparge. That's how I do a no sparge. I don't put all the water into the mash. I mash with maybe like 2 quarts a pound and then add the rest of the water I need at the end of the mash and run it all off at once. Mm-hmm. To me, sparging really, I mean, and maybe it's my own definition that I've made up and no one else uses. But to me, sparging is trying to extract more sugar from the grain after the mash. So I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like that's what you guys are both doing, but just in a weird. That would be.
Yeah. And my normal batch sparge is what Drew described, where you just run it off and then add more water and run it off again. But if I'm making a particularly low gravity beer, I'll do it the other way. So, and it can be, we can call it perverted sparge.
So I'm a perverted sparger?
Yeah.
JP, remember at the beginning of this talk when we said that, you could ask the homebrewers how to do something and get 9 different answers?
Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
There you go.
Perfect example.
You know, speaking of that, I see your choice quotes from old school masters.
Yep.
In here, and you say, some of these quotes are contradictory, but that's what you get when it comes to homebrewers, which is true. And part of me kind of likes playing guess who said it. You know what I mean? Because we know some of these people. Why am I being attacked by bugs? Batch sparging. I don't trust it. To me, that sounds like Annie Johnson.
No.
Annie is a hardcore batch sparger.
Is
that
she?
Sounds like Gordon.
Okay.
Well, no, actually, all of the choice quotes, the ones that don't say they're explicitly from All Stars, those are actually from the general populace.
Oh, all on your survey. Okay, got it. Oh. Okay. Well, it still sounds like an Annie Johnson quote. Right? I'm going to stand by that.
But she batch sparges.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
She's crazy.
Well, she definitely said it.
And also the reason for the anti-batch sparge quote in there is because I, of course, was the one who selected the quotes. I had to tweet Denny.
You say that, and it's pretty cool because you guys, you get your personalities through in the book with a little call outs about who's saying what. And yeah, you say that. Of course, we have to include anything negative about batch sparging just to tweak Denny.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I like it.
Half of what makes us even semi-interesting is that kind of like back and forth thing that we do with our differences of opinion. So it's nice to get it into the book. When we were down in Brazil about a year ago, it was just our first morning there. We hadn't even known these Brazilian guys very long. And we'd just gotten on the tour bus that was going to take us around to see all the breweries and stuff that day. And Drew and I were talking. And one of the Brazilian guys looked at another one and said, "It's just like the book came to life."
Just right out of the pages, man. Just jump right out.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, look, let's face it. There are a lot of ways to make brewing both interesting and dull as dishwater. And we got dinged last year by a couple of reviewers about the talk that we gave about, the content was really interesting, but the way it was delivered was, it was just too much. It was, it wasn't scientific enough or dry enough. And you know what? Fuck off. If you're coming to hear us or you're going to read one of our books, I have an absolute aversion to boring people, which would amaze most of the people that I that know me, because they pretty much think I'm fairly boring. So since I have that aversion, I try to make up for it and actually try and make sure that these books are entertaining.
Yeah.
Denny's exactly the same way. And one of the best ways we can do that is to let our personality shine through in the text. And we're very fortunate that our editor and our publisher are actually okay with that. A lot of people want to try and chop that away and kind of make, no, this is a brewing textbook, so therefore you must, you know, be serious or whatever.
Yeah, well, there's enough of those out there. We don't need another a print version of a talking head telling us what to do and how to do it, and these are the reasons why people buy your books for your voice, for the way that you communicate.
Yeah, it's for our charming personalities.
Right.
Yeah. Always remember, it's a fucking hobby, and if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong.
Right. Yeah, you can get so caught up in it. Again, it's kind of escapism from your, you know, normal life or whatever. It can be, anyways. And, yeah, people can get a hard-on for beer, and it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be that way.
But if you don't know what exact enzymes are working at 147, you might as well stop what you're doing.
You should kill yourself at that point. Yeah.
Well, there's that too.
I mean, there's a base knowledge here, Warren, that we all should have.
Sure, there's a bar.
Right.
Well, that's assumed, isn't it?
Okay.
Right. So, okay, what have you guys learned from All-Stars? You have in the back here how you can be an All-Star, but I want to hear it from you guys. How can we elevate our game to where we're learning shit on our own and we're kind of changing our the way that we brew and changing our brewing for the better, I hope.
Well, I'll go first because I'm older.
All right. age before brains.
There he has go. Less time.
Right, yeah. I would say the two things you can do are brew, and take really good notes.
Okay.
You know? Brew a lot, pay attention to what happens, and write it all down. If it goes great, you want to be able to do it again. And if it doesn't go great, you want to make sure you never fucking do that again.
Yeah, you need to know why.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll back up on Denny's quote there, where I agree with brew often, brew early, brew again and again. I'm not so much about the notes, because frankly, I like the romantic lost brew that you can never recreate. Yeah, you know, that sort of longing in your heart to go, this is a one-time thing.
I wish clam chowder beer would have been that.
Yeah.
No. But I take notes. I'm not as obsessive about it. But here's the other part that I think is important, and we cover this in the back of the book and also in the front of the book. It's way too easy for us as a collection of brewers to sit there and say, okay, who is an all-star? And what makes somebody an all-star brewer? And too often we get hung up on, you know, the people who are out there winning the competitions, the people who have the big names, the people who have, the ego to, or lack of ego necessary to self-promote heavily. And we get too wrapped up in that and thinking that means an all-star. To me, the biggest thing about an all-star brewer is somebody who not only knows what they're talking about in terms of their brewing, like knows how to make their beer sing the way that they want it to sing.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the way you want it to sing, but they know how to make their beer sing to themselves and reach into, you know, part of their soul to excite whatever's dead there. But they also have a need to share, to educate, to, you know, to really bring home to everybody, you know, why they're passionate about this particular thing and how other people can share that same passion. So to me, that's a very important part about being an all-star that I don't think we talk enough about, is the educational aspect and that bringing it back.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Spreading the love, man.
And also, hey, if you're spreading the love, aside from occasional STD tests, it also means that you have more excuses to brew.
That's true, man. I mean, you know, and you can do the once a week thing. Even like once a month would be good enough, right?
Yep.
I mean, to get yourself
whenever
shit
you
done.
Can.
Yeah, don't ruin your life doing it.
No, employment's a good thing.
Employment's a good thing, yeah. Speaking of employment, our own Nathan Smith is even in here. He's one of the said all-stars.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
With his, he has a Scottish ale in here and his Kolsch, which is delicious.
Yeah, so we thought it was kind of funny that I think Nathan's in there talking about hops because, of course, that's what everybody really knows Nathan for.
Yeah.
And the two recipes that he includes are a Scottish and a Kolsch.
Right. Which is the great thing about Nate, man. He doesn't get super obsessive about it. He likes to learn about it. He likes to have fun doing it. And it's really interesting. But the beers that he brews, I mean, he does a lot of tests and IPAs and stuff. But I think at heart, he's a kind of a low IBU, easy drinking guy, and which kind of matches his personality. He's kind of low wattage, you know, easy to handle dude. I like that.
Until you put him on a stage.
Until you put him on a stage and he'll melt your fucking face off, dude.
Right, exactly. Put a guitar in his hand.
Yeah.
So, and Tasty's in there and Palmer's in there. So we snuck a couple people out of the crew.
Right.
You did. But
right.
not me or Warren. Yeah.
We were busy.
Warren
so
and I were
we understand.
Playing Carcassonne or something.
Well, Warren, we couldn't find you behind all the hair. And JP, we actually wanted somebody who likes homebrewers.
I like homebrew. Well, that's
yeah. Careful.
Yeah, that's true. Well, fair enough. Right, fair play. You got me. You got me. But I will put this out there for the second edition. You know, I've offered my services to many people, and no one's taken me up on it yet. I will write the foreword to anybody's book.
Well, there you go.
Oh,
and we'll do this.
Oh.
And
we have another book that we're talking about right now.
Wow,
keep that in mind.
Keep it in mind. It's just going to be the word "fuck off" 100 times.
Well, and we will reserve the right to put an editorial disclaimer around the introduction.
Just redacted. Right. The whole thing is just redacted. There's black bars everywhere. I think it's great. Where can we buy your book, our friends?
You can buy it anywhere that any fine retailer where finer books are sold. So you can buy it off of Amazon. You can buy it off of our publisher, Quarto Books.
Barnes & Noble. You can hopefully your local brew shop is carrying it. You know, it should be out there just about everywhere.
Yeah, go to your local homebrew shop and ask them to carry it and then buy
it. That's right.
Is it going to be... Is it going to be in Baltimore?
We're going to set up a store on our website and hopefully be able to sell signed copies there.
That'd
but
be cool.
That would actually take work.
and if you're going to Homebrew Con, we're doing a book signing there at the Brewers Publications booth, so you could buy it there and get it signed. They'll have both of the books there. And if you run into me, I always carry some with me because what the hell, money's good.
Can I just take a moment and say how thoughtful and wonderful it was of the AHA to rename the convention for Denny?
That's right.
From now on, I'm going to spell it with two N's.
Two N's.
That's right. You just call me Homebrew Con.
Homebrew Con. I'm surprised the logo just isn't a pair of red high top Converse
with a ukulele.
It may be by June.
You're going to take over, man. Well, hey, guys, I appreciate you taking the time to come and plug your book. I think it's amazing.
Well, thank you so much for asking us, man. We appreciate the opportunity to talk to it, talk about it, and it's always great to joke around with you guys.
we enjoy having you guys on. It is a really awesome book, guys. I'm not even blowing smoke. It's laid out unlike any other homebrewing book I've ever seen, where you have the people who are making up the recipes tell you individual tips and tricks that will help you refine your processes and kind of get into their minds about why they're doing it this way and why we brew the way we brew. And hopefully it'll make you think about why you do the things you do and if there's room for you to change for the better and to investigate other people's processes. And I think we can't get enough of that. I think it's really rad.
And hopefully it'll make people think about what lesson it is they have that they can teach to other people, too.
Oh, yeah. I guess I never really thought that I had a lesson to teach, but
well, you
maybe,
might not.
Maybe we all
well,
do. Maybe I don't.
You might
well,
not.
I think your lesson is don't brew like me.
I've said that. Wow. It's like you know me, bro.
Don't do what I do.
Yeah, don't do
Amen.
This. Don't do this at all. All right, guys. We're going to let you split.
All right,
man. Great talking to you.
All right, you guys too. Oh, wait. Hold on. Plug your podcast. You guys have a podcast.
Oh, right.
Yes, we do.
Plug that thing.
Experimental Brew. It's a bi-weekly podcast where we talk beer science, beer nerdery, weird beer, because after all, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
But people can subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher and all those lovely places. And they can also come to our website, experimentalbrew.com, where you'll also be able to find the results of the experiments that we have our independent group of researchers out there performing, our Igors. And if people want to get involved and want to actually do some science, they can just contact us.
I love that.
We always need more Igors. Last experiment, we took on the dreaded olive oil myth and busted it.
Saw that. And you busted it open.
Yep.
Yes, we did.
Using olive oil produced the same results as doing no aeration whatsoever.
Really?
Yep. Ugh.
Did you try different kinds of olive oil?
Yeah.
Like Greek and Italian?
No, garlic. Man, that's another experiment.
Yeah, for virgin versus, you know, whatever. You know, before I let you guys go, there's been a kind of a resurgence every year whenever the Reinheitsgebot anniversary comes up. Do you guys care about that? Is that something that we need to really even think about anymore? We're not German. We're not drinking German beer. Do we give a shit?
JP, I made a clam chowder saison.
Yeah, well, fuck, you're right. Yeah.
So you already should be in German prison.
It's like if the Reinheitsgebot means something to you, then fine. It also holds things back. It's just as well that there are some people who like it and others who don't. So we have the best of both worlds. Is that hippy dippy enough?
Yeah. I'm surprised you weren't offering to trade a book for fruitcake or some apples from your orchard or some shit at the GABF.
Reinheitsgebot coexist sticker.
With all the ingredients. Right.
Peace, love, and happiness.
That's your next book. All right, guys, get out of here. I'm tired of it.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye, guys. Right. Thank you again.
Bye.
I do like those guys. My favorite part is just Denny in the background going, totally.
Cool. Yeah,
right on. Just like, God, man. I can't laugh harder than right now.
I enjoy them. Very nice.
I enjoy them too. It's a great book. It's really laid out very well. I'm being very honest. Okay, what do we got to do here? Let's talk about something else here real fast.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about Beersmith.
Okay.
You can't really do a whole lot in your head these days where, we got eye devices and you devices and all this kind of shit. Right. Our attention spans are garbage. That's why Beersmith is here. Go to beersmith.com. Get your 21-day free trial of the best brewing software. Commercial brewers use it too. We get a lot of guests come in and say that you still use Beersmith. It has all your calculations for you. It has all the ingredients listed in there. Brad over there is working really hard to make sure that everything's up to date. All the new stuff is in there. And it's just a really great way to keep track of all your beer recipes. Go to beersmith.com. 21 days for free, people. That's better than 20 days for free.
Right.
And honestly, that's what he was going to do. And he talked to me. He texted me. And he's like, dude, what do you think, JP? I'm like, 21. Why are you being a dick?
Right.
And he goes, you're right. You're right. I appreciate it. So it's 21 day, the JP 21 day free trial. Beersmith.com.
Thank you for getting that 21st day.
You're welcome, man. Okay, we are going to take our last break of the evening. It's a short show. Short show. We didn't have a whole lot of feedback, man. You people write in. Feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.
We want to know what you think.
Yeah, let us know. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to do the Twitter game. I have two beer. It was really even a slow beer news a week. There's not a whole lot going on in the world right now of beer. We're probably going to try to bring in our Aussie friends who are still out there wooing the natives of this land.
Right, with their sexy chalky accents.
With their chalky bickies and their sexy accents. They brought us beer. I got a beer from...
They brought us two IPAs and a red IPA.
Yeah, right. I forget that other guy's name, Brendan and...
I don't know.
And Homeboy.
So bad.
And he brings in three bottles of beer, and he's like, yeah, so two are IPAs and one's a some sort of red IPA. And I'm like, so three IPAs? All right, man. And then I got this thing. I don't know what it's... It's a 10% anniversary ale from Murray's or whatever.
Murray's?
Big, bold, and oak-aged. Lark Distillery Whiskey Barrels.
Murray? So that's not an IPA.
It's not an IPA, no.
Oh.
It might be. Who knows, dude?
It's a Murray PA. Get it?
No.
turn her microphone down.
What a war on.
Bev, you're such a fucking war on. All right. Speaking of Warond, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We're going to wrap the show up, folks. That's what we do here.
Wrap it up.
On the Brewing Network. Yeah, wrap it up. Not like prom night. We just kind of just let it go. It's the session.
Stop it.
We'll be right back, Bev.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness. Woo-hoo! It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, Moylan's. The end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody's bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah!
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's in Novato. They're freaking awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers.
Boom.
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops, and now comes in four pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from thebrewingnetwork.com.
A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and the gadget guy Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com. Last year, on the first Saturday in May, 11,000 participants brewed more than 19,000 gallons of beer. It's National Homebrew Day. This year, on May 7th, fellow homebrewers around the world will join in the global celebration of the greatest hobby there is, homebrewing. The American Homebrewers Association encourages you to be a part of this epic brew day. Go to homebrewersassociation.org and click on Big Brew National Homebrew Day. There you'll find this year's official recipes for extract and all grain brewers. If you're going to host a public event, register it as well. The AHA provides promotional materials like posters, Zymergy magazine, and display signs. And don't forget to raise a glass at noon Central Time for a worldwide simultaneous toast to homebrewing. Big Brew on National Homebrew Day. Be a part of it this May 7th. Visit homebrewersassociation.org for more details.
Tampa Bay has become a great destination for craft beer lovers with more than 60 breweries and counting, like Cigar City, Tampa Bay, and Coppertail Brewing. One of the newest breweries is Four Stacks Brewing Company in Apollo Beach. Four Stacks believes that the West Coast can't have all the fun. So while we feature West Coast beer like Stone, Ballast Point, and Green Flash on tap, we also brew hopped up ales to our liking in the West Coast style, even as they're truly Florida. Come in and see for yourself. Four Stacks hosts monthly homebrew club meetings, bottle shares, and partners with local restaurants for free food delivery while you enjoy your pint in their new tap room. Stop by Four Stacks Brewing and support the greater Tampa Bay craft beer scene at a brand new community-oriented independent brewery. Four Stacks Brewing, bringing the best of the West Coast style and attitude. Four Stacks Brewing Company in Apollo Beach, Florida.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerone are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
You're listening to the Brewing Network, because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
All right, we're at the tail end of this thing we call life, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what we are.
It's winding down.
Yeah, I do want to tell you guys about the third annual Pints for Paws Craft Beer Festival benefiting the Berkeley Humane Society. They have a selection of 80-plus craft beers from over 20 craft breweries and have a great time. While benefiting the Berkeley Humane Society, you can, I think you can adopt animals there. It's a whole thing, man. Saturday, June 4th from 2 to 5. So if you're not going to HomebrewCon, definitely head over to 10th Street at Carlton and hang out with a bunch of cute little animals. Tickets are $40 through, I missed that deadline, $45 from now until June 3rd, and then or $50 on site. So, definitely go online and grab that today. Berkeley Humane .org.
Why is a place called a Humane Society when it has to do with animals?
Humane?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not dog society.
Well, being humane, I guess it's like you be human.
Spreading humanity.
Yeah, which has worked well over the centuries and millennium, right? That, we're very humane to one another. So why not pass that down to animals?
Right.
Yeah. Every dollar that's raised at the event will go directly to Berkeley Humane to save lives of dogs and cats in the East Bay. Price of admission includes, I think it's unlimited tasting, as a matter of fact.
Oh, nice.
3-ounce pours. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Third annual Pints for Paws, everybody. Check it out.
That means they've had two already.
Yes. That's math.
Right.
We have Brendan in the studio.
Hey, guys. How are we going?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Not bad. Not bad. Cruising along.
You're the Chalky Bicky distributor.
Yes.
Oh.
I know people like Chalky Bickies from down under.
Well, people meaning Beverly specifically.
That's right. Yeah. I bought you guys beer. So,
You did you bring did. Us beer. Lupe, you should bust in some of them Chalky Bickies, dude.
Yep. He's already had one.
You already had one?
Yeah.
They're delish, right?
Bit of marshmallow, bit of jam, bit of picky, and a bit of chalky. You know?
Yeah, dude.
What do you want, mate?
Lupe, what's better, the Abuela Mexican chocolate or this this Australian shit? Yeah.
The Abuela Mexican hot chocolate.
You think so?
Oh.
Abuelita!
You would
say
that.
That would be a nice pair, though.
Yeah?
If you pair those up, that would be solid.
I'd call BS.
Have you had Mexican hot chocolate?
No.
Lupe's about to get all the shit right now.
I'm going to run the Safeway real quick.
I'm calling it without actually having tasted the other alternative.
That's what I do. You can make a great podcast radio show host.
You don't need to taste both of them to make a judgment.
Yeah, you know exactly what's going on. Right. Yeah. I was chatting to some guy at the bar while I was waiting for my beer, which I fucking hate.
Yeah.
This beer is gross, by the way, Lupe. And this guy's talking about how... The beer I'm drinking right now. And excuse me. And he goes like, it's not as cloudy as it says in the thing. And I'm like, good. I don't want it to be cloudy. He goes, really? I had one of those. What do you call it? It's from some brewery that I'm not going to name, but the name of the beer is like juicy or orange juice or whatever the fuck it's called
on Friday.
And I'm like, why? I'm like, you drank that? He goes, yeah, I just had it. It was great. I'm like, on purpose? And I don't think he stopped talking to me. Mm. You had one.
So I ordered a beer. I was at a bar in the city.
Yeah.
And just went, oh, IPA. Yeah, great. And when they brought it, I went, oh, it's one of those beers.
Oh,
and,
dude.
And it might have been pretty, someone putting ideas in my mind, but it just did not taste the same.
It won't taste the same.
No. And I just sort of went, can I get through this? And I drank two-thirds of the pint.
Okay.
And next one was a blind pig. Sorry, I just...
Mm. So you didn't even finish it?
No, I couldn't finish it,
And
it wasn't me. My mate was the same way. We were just like, I couldn't not finish it, so...
And what were the flavors that you were getting out of that, like that were offensive to you? Because, yes, it's not going to be the same, right?
I'm not saying offensive.
Get closer to that. Get closer to that mic.
Sorry, mate.
That's right.
I'm not saying it was offensive. I'm saying it was more muddled. I just wasn't picking up a crisper flavor, that I was looking for. So
you want a clear road to Flavorville, and they were just kind of all over the place. Not even all of it. It was too much, too gray, I guess, if you had a color.
That's right. Yeah, it wasn't crisp. It was, there was a muddled aroma, a flavor there to it. So,
well, and I guess it makes sense. And that's kind of I've never had one. The closest I've had was Heady Topper, which was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was under a week, I think, when it was canned.
Oh, yeah.
It was fresh.
It's flown out here.
Yeah. And I didn't like it, but I thought that those people who like the juicy, Jesus, the gravy IPAs, the bathwater, unfiltered apple juice IPA.
East Coast IPAs?
Yeah. They don't like IPAs. Because if you want an IPA, like you went, oh, an IPA, I know kind of what I'm in for.
Mm, definitely.
You're doing a detriment, I think, by calling it an IPA. And if it's not going to taste like an IPA.
And
you want those flavors.
I've had beers from that brewery in San Francisco before, and they've all been great. And we went to their brewery on, this was Friday.
Okay.
We went there on Saturday, and it was great. I'm just not a fan of them. Recently I ran a homebrew comp in Sydney.
Yeah.
And they were also bringing, people also entered their beers under the name of, what they call them? The East Coast IPA.
New England.
Vermont IPA.
New England.
Yeah, New England. Yeah. And I sort of went, that's not, it's the BJCP style guidelines. We're doing this competition too. Not what... Yeah. You want to, we specifically said in the conditions, this will be judged to these conditions.
Yeah.
Don't go and put on there, extra information. I'd say, I think I said Vermont, I think, in the Vermont IPA. It's not what we're after, And
so how do you judge that?
Well, I was running the comp. I wasn't judging beers that day. But how would you judge that? I don't know.
You'd kill them for appearance. That's 3 points.
Clarity and all that sort of
sharpness
stuff.
Sharpness of flavor, hop, the burst or whatever, the hop flavor, the hop aroma.
You might get aroma in there because aroma's maybe not, but the flavor, there was a muddled flavor.
Okay.
Yeah. Clarity. I don't know. I haven't tested this, but has head retention gone down with? I mean, we don't see too many of them where I'm from, but
the photos I've seen online,
head retention, or is there any head retention?
I've only seen them in online, and it doesn't have a like that lacy head that we've kind of come to know
a
with
rich,
beer
big
today
foam sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the mouthfeel would be all wrong compared to what the BJCP lists for IPAs.
Yeah,
that's right. And, I mean, does carbonation come out? I mean, obviously, if head retention is not there, maybe carbonation comes out with all those nucleation sites of whatever's in there. Maybe that might be, So there's a whole range of things that might affect it. So, anyway, to each their own. If you enjoy it, drink it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you're wrong.
I am.
It just doesn't.
Yeah. We will
save
for you.
I'll save for you, dude. Because I think, I don't know, it's...
I just think to each their own. If you want to drink it, go for it.
Yeah, but it's not, it doesn't do anything for me. You Australians don't really have a record for rebelling. You know what I mean? You kind of just go with the flow. Like, oh, yeah. That's the new thing. We're all doing this now. Yeah. This is what we're doing.
All right.
That's right.
Great. I don't know.
My turn for a beer. Yeah.
Have a chucky biggie.
Yeah, have a chucky biggie and deal with it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess I think it's a style born of bad brewing practice, and the result is bad brewing. It's cloudy. Mm. Bad brewing means that you're brewing a beer that would be cloudy, and this is what it is, and I don't know. And then you add all sorts of shit to it. But I think it presents a lot of problems like this. You can't enter that in a competition and expect that to even be judged fairly or properly. And people who are making these beers on a commercial level are like, well, why are you listening to the BJCP? We're trying to make a new style. Well, then why are you trying to enter that beer in a competition? It does the two ideologies don't make sense. You can't be one and the other at the same time.
You're either making a beer for a competition, or you're making a beer that you like to drink and that doesn't meet those style guidelines. You know, so that's all it is.
I do like the idea of an Australian brewing a New England style beer. That's not even a style.
There's a lot of there's a few people in my brew club who are talking about it. You know, and I've had Heady Topper and I've had this and. They post pictures on and you go, great, there's the glass and I can see either side, but I can't see through the glass.
So have you had it in Australia before, like this style of beer?
Personally haven't. No, my first example was on Friday, so 3 days ago.
Okay, because I'm curious to see how they would travel. I mean, they didn't travel well across the state or across the country
These were from people that actually bought them and put them in their luggage and flew them home and then drank them or gave them to friends who asked them, you know, literally within a week of being purchased.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. You know, so, I don't think people are going to buy beers that they're not going to sit on the shelf, you know, and buy them that way. You know, we call them grey imports. So I don't know where. You know,
gray imports?
Yeah, so they're not imported through proper channels.
The gray market.
Yeah, gray market. Got it. Thing, so.
I see, now when you say that, I think gray water.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what they're brewed with. It looks like it's cloudy.
There's a few places in Sydney doing quite a lot of gray imports at the moment. You know.
So, oh, really?
You can get Westy 12 for $50 a bottle.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think the 6 is a far superior beer than the 12. I really do. Like the green cap. Yeah. That's like the single.
I've actually got someone gave me a bottle of the Westy 12 and they spent the $50, but I've not had it, you know, but
it's fine.
Yeah.
But you can get a beer of equal or sometimes better quality. Mm. And that's the reality, I think, of brewing these days. Craft beer. We have 4,200 breweries here, just in this country. Mm. You guys are seeing a huge renaissance in brewing.
That's right.
You can find beers that you don't need to pay $50 for, that you don't need to wait in a 10-hour line for. You can just kind of stumble upon them, and I don't know.
I don't queue line for beer. So, you know, it's, I'm past that.
You're over it. Look at you, curmudgeons over here.
Yeah.
I don't wait for beer.
Right.
No. If I want a beer, I want it now.
Yeah, for sure, dude. How's the brewing scene in Sydney? No,
it's great.
Sydney's where you're at proper?
Sydney, Sydney.
What's your address? what's your street?
Yeah. So, Sydney, we've had... You know, a lot of breweries open up in the last couple of years, and I've had two mates open up breweries in the last 12 months. Which is great.
Wow.
And I've got a few friends who are brewing under license, you know, using other people's facilities and things like that.
Okay.
You know, so there's quite a few, it's growing, you know. So, but we're seeing what you guys are seeing, where the big guys are buying out the small guys.
You guys are getting that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So there was a brewery in Victoria, and... it was bought out by, maybe it's Asahi, you know, one of the big Japanese brands, which owns probably half the Australia's breweries anyway.
Yeah.
Or, you know, half our brewing
market. Yeah, they own Little Creatures too, I think,
right? That's
right.
Yeah. I think they own, yeah. There's basically two main players. But, you know, they're bought out and good on them, you know, so. But at the same time, there's a lot of smaller breweries that, you know, they're opening up and, we'll see how they go. Some of them are brewing really good beer, and some of them, I think, have a little bit of a way to go. So,
Tell us about these beers you brought in. Well, I mean, not any great
detail,
but...
I didn't bring these ones here.
Okay. No, that was your friend.
Yeah. So, well, the beer you've got there in front of you is a brewery about an hour and a half north of Sydney.
Okay.
Every year they bring out an anniversary ale on the 1st of January. So every year we basically reserve a case or two, depending. We go to our brew club and say, who wants some beers? And we ring them up and order it and make sure. And then we drive up on January 1st, which is pretty, you know, some people are a bit hungover, some people are a bit tired. You know? But we drive up and have lunch and, you know, we buy back this. So this should be a barley one. I've actually got a couple of vintages of these, but I've never actually cracked one. I'm waiting for them to mature a bit. Okay. But it's also, well, that's 10%. So
okay.
I find it hard to always drink one of those, and it's trying to get the right friends together that will appreciate it too.
Yeah, that's my problem too, especially with big beers. And see, it's interesting to me. This one on the box says best before 28/12/16. So the 28th of December 16. Why not? You know, I don't know.
It was probably bottled on that day. 15, which was last year, and it was released on the 1st of January.
Well, yeah, and that I get, but a lot of beers are saying, and I've seen them, and these clearly are different, that you can age them indefinitely, or some companies go, you know, 10 years or whatever, but these people are like, no, do it a year. But, I kind of like that.
But maybe, and I'm not an expert or have any knowledge of this, but maybe the law in Australia says you've got to have only 12 months on it. I don't know. I mean,
Yeah.
All countries,
weird laws.
All countries make up stupid laws.
That's true.
You know, or for alcohol, not even just beer, alcohol in general. You know, it's so.
And actually, five standard drinks. That's weird. Yeah. I mean, you know, my point being that I wonder if they kind of know the limitations of cellaring beers. Mm. You know, quite often you'll get a barley wine, and we all know this. It's not a surprise. But the longer you age a barley wine, it'll oxidize, and the flavors will change. You can kind of get the soy sauce thing and whatever. So you can't really keep a barley wine on for 5 years and think it's going to taste the same as it did, maybe a little subtle flavors. Mm. But maybe these folks are like, well, look, dude, within about a year, it's going to taste relatively similar, and then anything else is going to be changing, and it's not going to be the same. And so, I don't know, maybe not.
Anyway.
That's what I would do.
That's the commercial beer. And the other one I bought is the one that I gave to Biddy. That's the their rare barrel golden ale recipe. They're their golden recipe. I just took it off the sour hour. And it's aged with bottle dregs.
Oh, cool. So
between Christmas and New Year, not the one we just had the year before.
Yeah.
14.
Yeah.
I basically sat down and said, I've got sour beers I'm going to drink. And I had Russian River, Cantillon, Trefontaine. There was an Orval for some Brett strains and whatever I could get my hands on with sour.
Yeah.
And I basically just poured them all into a little flask of wort and grew up the culture.
Okay, yeah.
And then did their recipe and threw some dregs at it and left it in a keg for 12 months.
Nice.
And
tastes good? Tastes like shit.
No. Well, I think it tastes all right, so.
Just all right, Warren. Yeah. Well, see? Now right. I'm fine with a commercial beer. I was like, oh, it's sour beer. What the fuck?
Yeah.
But, you know, now I'm stoked on this one.
Yeah, well, yours. My beer's all right.
Yeah. What's the date on that? I can't see. 20
He can't see either.
Well, it's backwards. It's whatever the 24th month is on the first day of this year.
So it was bottled on the 24th of January. So it was in the keg for probably a year, and then it was, you know.
They do day, month, year.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's smaller, medium, large. The rest of the world does it.
Small day. A day is smaller than a month.
Month, and it's smaller than a year.
Time-wise, but not number-wise. Not all the time.
No, not always with number-wise, but it's all, you know, it's... You guys are going to have to come and join the rest of the world.
I'm fine with feet, and inches, and miles.
That's I'm good fine. With that.
Yeah. Archaic measurements.
Well, thanks for the beers.
No worries.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for hanging out. So how long are you in the States for?
5 days.
What are you going to do? What are you doing tomorrow? I know you have like a itinerary, but I apologize.
Basically, it's 5 days of drinking. So Friday we got in. Our flight was late, so we
drank. No, I don't give a shit. What are you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow's a free day. So we're
free day.
We're basically moving into the city because we're going to change for our accommodation. And we're going to... we have no idea. So we might be... I was thinking we might do like San Leandro, so we might do Drake's 21A.
Okay.
I don't know if Clear for Squealy's open during the week. I'd have to Google that.
We can make some calls.
It could also be some... just a chance for us to catch up on sleep.
Yeah. That's no fun, though. You can sleep on the plane, dude.
It's funny. Jet lag has just been killing me.
Really?
Every morning, 3 a.m., I'm waking up, wide awake. Great.
Oh,
what do I do? Yeah, it's just, you know... And then about an hour later, I'm off again, you know.
So, yeah.
It's only a 5-day trip. It's just purely a, you know, abuse the liver for 5 years.
Right, right, totally. Well, maybe I'll make some calls and see if Sully can get you guys in the 2-1-A. Maybe I'll meet you down there, depending what time you do it. Because traffic coming back that way around like 2 o'clock sucks balls.
Bart.
So,
yeah.
Bart. Bart is tough, man. Bart sucks, too.
Right. Have you been on Bart?
Yeah. It's like any public transport around the world. They all suck.
Really? I've seen people defecate on BART before.
Okay. You win.
Thank you. This is the city we're talking about. You want to sit in for some speaking? Oh, hold on a second. I'm not going to do that segue. That's terrible. I have a couple things of beer news here, Brendan. You want to hang out for a little bit?
Hang out. Yeah.
All right. It's beer news, everybody.
Oh, beer news.
Brought to you by... Ears Up Podcast.
Again, wow, they're double sponsor.
Yeah. No, I don't have any sponsor for beer news. But I will say, here, I do have this library to do. Brendan, here you go. This is what you've been waiting for.
Yep.
Brendan, let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough?
Never.
Enough.
I'm single. Never.
Oh, shit. I bet you like more then.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, Adam and Eve has everything that you need to get more. And just in case you don't become single anymore,
yes,
you want to plan for that eventuality for sure. I would head over to adamandeve.com for a limited time only. You get 50% off just about any item. When you select your one item, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs plus a free exclusive gift. And to top it off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. So now it's not those gifts that are too sensual to mention on the radio.
Yeah.
They're telling you exactly
what
you're going to get.
But it's still sensual.
For your free gift. It's so sensual it takes batteries.
That's
how sensual it is.
What size batteries?
It's so sensual it takes maybe a watch battery. They can do a lot with batteries now.
Yeah.
Or if you're into it, it could be a D battery.
Yeah. Oh, it's a D battery. All right. That's for sure. You guys want to know the... exclusive gift. It's called...
Please.
It's called the clit bumper.
Oh!
Yeah. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Where do you put it?
I think it's like for on your bumper of your car.
Yeah.
So then when you're backing up or pulling forward, you know it beeps
it
where...
beeps, yeah.
Right.
How close you get to the other thing, right?
So it's a protection thing.
Yeah, okay. Totally. I think so, too. It's the ideal pleasure ring for couples. He'll love the way the love ring lets him stay harder for longer. It increases the strength of orgasm. Again, I don't really know what that is. She'll love the way the pleasure nubs on the clit bumper thrill her sweet spots. Maybe like chocolate chips. I don't know. The unique quote bumper stimulates her what is that word?
It sounds made up.
Clitoris.
Fictional.
Yeah. Soft and stretchy for a comfortable fit made of premium silicone. It's waterproof, thank God. compatible with all water-based lubes. AdamandEve.com and use code BNARMY at checkout. It's BNARMY at AdamandEve.com. Use code BNARMY at AdamandEve.com. 50% off.
For the next time you find yourself clit bumping.
Or you need to bump clit. Is that the thing where like...
Oh, when you're bumping clits?
You're bumping clit bumpings.
Is there a movie about that?
Yeah, you can get 1,600 titles of that shit at AdamandEve.com. Use code BNARMY.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do they send things to Australia? Can our friends get that stuff?
There's no free shipping. I don't think there's free shipping.
Do you guys have like regional porn?
Like kangaroos?
Yeah. Or no, like, I don't know, like shit with like, in the plot, there's a crocodile or an aboriginal, or like something.
Oh, yeah.
Is it something like that, or is
not
that just porn is porn is porn?
Yeah.
I mean, the Germans have their thing, and we have the school, Japanese have a schoolgirl thing, but we have like the little kid, like, not little kid, but the schoolgirl thing, too. I know that guy real weird.
The Vegemite delivery man.
I'm sort of backing off here now myself.
Oh, I heard you've been queuing up for this Vegemite.
Yeah.
Did anybody order some Vegemite?
I got something that's real mighty for you.
You got to use a microphone. No one can hear you. No?
I've got a chalky bicky for you.
I mean, with Vegemite, it would be dark and salty, but I'm not going to go there.
If I was a black porn star in Australia, I'd be chalky called Chalky Bicky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That would do it, yep.
All right. Speaking of Australia.
Yes.
Okay. So I didn't cover that vagina beer that was in the news a couple weeks ago on purpose because it's been done before, and quite frankly, it's disgusting. But here's a news story that isn't just fluff. An Australian brewery is crafting beer from belly button fluff.
Oh, that's gross.
Which one?
You got to use a microphone, Bev. For the love of fucking Christ.
I'm not really talking.
That one's not on.
But I'm not talking. Yeah. I'm just commenting. That's gross. I didn't care if anybody heard.
And it's irritating.
Which one does it say?
7 Cent Brewery.
That's disgusting.
Based where?
Australia.
I mean, okay, it's a big country.
Lactobacillus is the vagina main bug, but what is the main bug that grows in your belly button? Does it say?
7 Cent Brewery.
Harris belly buttonus? I don't know.
That might be it.
Hairiest grossness.
Fattest guttus. I don't know.
They are, I don't know, dude. It doesn't say. Their website doesn't say.
Doesn't say. Oh, where are we? Doesn't say.
It doesn't say. Contact us.
Is there a telephone number?
Our beer. I don't know, man. Why are you making me do
this?
There's
no telephone number. Contact us. There's,
we can't just call them right
contact
now.
Us.
No, no.
To dial them up. No, it's a contact form.
Yeah, it's just an internet form. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, dude. You don't get to know that shit.
All right.
No, well,
fucking confidential.
That's...
Let's do address.
Well, I mean,
I thought you Australians knew everything about everything.
Right, you don't keep tabs on each other?
Yeah, we do, but...
Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Victoria.
You just went to Australia.com.
Victoria, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gisborne South.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
No. I've heard of Gisborne and I've heard of... I mean, Victoria's, we call them Mexicans because they're south of the border. But, yeah, no. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be owned by anybody. I don't know.
That's true.
It's just a... You know, it could be like, you know, like the Blue Moon. You know, when you look at the address,
you never know.
You look at the address and actually go there, it's actually a Budweiser brewery. You
know, right,
it's
right.
So, I've never heard of them.
Okay,
keep reading.
Well, their latest beer, aptly called Belly Button Beer, so they're masters at marketing, was brewed with yeast harvested from one of their brewers' belly buttons. Apparently, they went around plating out cultures from all of their brewers until they got a strain that they liked. This is a quote from one of the brewers. They said, "Once you get used to the idea that yeast is yeast, no matter where you get it from, and that the water we drink is really recycled dinosaur urine, then you can just sit back and enjoy the beer, in theory."
Did he say in theory?
Yeah. End quote.
He wasn't saying in practice. He actually
said you actually can't do it.
Right. You could do it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. Yeast is yeast no matter where you get it from and whatever. Belly button.
It's a single-celled organism, so.
Yeah.
I mean, so what if it has a little wax and lint on it?
Yeah, who cares, right?
Right?
Sweat.
A lot of sweat.
In a 1,000-gallon batch, that's a little bit of that stuff.
Just a bit. Just a touch.
Yeah.
Speaking of a touch, I'm going to burp here, but I can't do it.
You already did that. I'm an inebriate.
There we go. There's been a lot of hullabaloo in the news about the impact, the economic impact of craft breweries in different communities, mainly built around Russian Rivers, Pliny the Younger, you know, debut or whatever, the beer release date
launch
or whatever. Yeah. You know, we all know that lines wrap around the block and everyone's waiting for days and there's wristbands and the whole fucking thing. So they have new data on the economic impact in Sonoma County proper from the release of Pliny the Younger was almost $5 million from 16,000 brewpub attendees.
And how
that means that's how much those people spent in
that's how
in
much
the city?
More the revenue the county generated from travelers specifically going to Russian River.
Wow.
So they say 61% of attendees were tourists in town specifically for the beers released, and while 83% were from California, the rest were from 40 different states and 11 countries.
I heard Australia was represented there, so that's good.
I'm sure they were.
But how long's the release time for that beer?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Is it like, you know, 7 days? Is it the first or second Friday in February that it's released?
I think it's one release day. Maybe they have a weekend, but then it's just out until it's gone.
It lasts a couple of weeks, I think.
Oh, a couple of weeks. Okay.
Yeah, it's just
because
they
distribute it around a bit.
Yeah. But they're talking about just Sonoma County, aren't
just
they?
In Sonoma County. Yeah. Just so people actually going to the physical place and doing the thing. They say 40% of the out of towners stayed in local lodging and paid an average of $163 per night, and 92% they said they would come back and do it all over again.
Well, I'm be honest, I'm the same. I'm in those same demographics, but not for Pliny the Younger.
Right.
I went to Sonoma last night. We were staying in Russian, in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
To go to Russian River.
Okay.
So I meet those demographics just for not for a
not for that specific
that
thing,
specific
but just
beer,
in general.
But just in general.
Okay.
So I can see how that definitely would add up over time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They say on the brewery side, 16,000 people spent an average of $73. At the brew pub.
At the brew pub.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're above average. I totally. Saw my credit card slip this morning, so yeah.
And they interview Natalie here in this article, and she says, the author goes, so how does the brewery keep up with massive demand? Natalie says, we don't. We can't physically brew enough. It's like, well, yeah, of course. Apparently, they're looking to expand. They're actively searching out a property in Sonoma County to build another brewery and brew pub.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she says they're not going to make more Pliny. They're going to make it better. I don't know what that means. Pliny the Younger, Pliny. No, they're going to make it better. Pliny the Better? That's the new.
Pliny the Elder or Younger? You just said Pliny.
Which one are they not going to make more of?
She just said Pliny.
Oh. Okay.
So probably both.
They can make more sour stuff then?
Who knows? I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Blind Pig?
She's saying that Pliny the Younger now is not the most profitable beer to produce. It takes twice as long to brew. I don't know what that means. And the ingredients cost more. Not to mention that despite the massive pilgrimage each year, these 2 weeks, there you go, there's your answer, Brendan, are not the brew pub's most lucrative. She says we don't turn over tables during those 2 weeks. People hang out for the beer. So that's got to be frustrating to have something that's super in demand and it's not as profitable as just your normal weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever. So why continue to do it?
Good question, dude.
Because they can.
Sonoma won't renew their license.
Probably not, man.
They make so much out of it.
Right? All right. Well, that was beer news.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not bad. Sorry.
Slow week in the beer world.
Dude, it's been it's a weird show week, man. Not only was there no fucking feedback, there's no beer news at all. We spent an hour with Drew and Denny, over an hour with Drew and Denny.
Right.
Now we got an Australian in here filling time.
Yeah.
Weird.
I do want to tell you guys about, we do have our new Labrusky Cruise video up on the Brewing Network YouTube page. Pushy Jack just loaded that shit up like an hour ago.
I just got a text on my phone like 20 minutes ago saying that it was live because I follow the Brewing Network on YouTube. And
nice.
I don't really know why, but I
why?
Do.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
But like narcissist.
You guys, right. Yeah. I like to see myself. If you guys wondered how our trip was on the Labrusky Cruise in March?
Yes.
March, right? Check it out. It's the, what is it called, Labrusky Cruise 2016. Or it's on our YouTube page. Search Brewing Network and you'll find it. It's pretty cool. It's about 8 minutes of coolness, mainly starring me because nobody else was around.
In your Speedo?
No.
Well, he was the
you
only one
who was. You got a little too
there.
Excited there.
No, not excited.
Yeah.
More shocked and scared to watch the actual
Me
movie.
Too. We did have...
There is a Speedo that makes an appearance.
There is a Speedo that makes an appearance. It's not mine.
Oh, no.
It was gross. A listener called Chad, who we dubbed Supernova because he partied really hard for like 2 days. And then nobody saw him after the second night. Like just nobody saw him at all. He just disappeared.
Yeah.
So we call him Supernova now.
Okay. He burned hot,
that's for sure. There were quite a lot of Brewing Network listeners, for sure.
Yeah.
And that was cool. We karaoke'd. There's some karaoke footage in there. We scooped, nice. Or we snorkeled. There's some snorkeling footage in there.
I got real drunk.
There's some of that footage in there. Bev got a little seasick. There was too much motion in the ocean.
Couldn't handle it.
Well, there were 6 drinks for $20.
Which I told you, so we went scuba or snorkeling.
Umbrellas?
No umbrellas,
no
but
umbrellas
it was like
in the drink. Oh.
They brought us
matter.
On the boat, and we spent more time drinking than snorkeling, which is fine, I guess. And they were running around going, okay, 6 drinks for $20. You can buy these tickets. And we're like, motherfuckers. So they take you off the boat, and you assume that everything's going to be included because it's all included, but this is a different. Yeah. And I'm like, we're never going to drink all these drinks. And Bev's like, yeah, we are.
He's like, you can buy 2 for this amount, 4 for this amount, or 6 for 20. And I was like, I'll take 6.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Challenge annihilated.
Yeah, she did it. And then...
But only three made it back to the boat.
You held it in. You held him in, though.
Yeah, I did. I didn't vomit. I was fun. Yeah. It was...
But you looked pretty awesome in that video.
And
but
then...
Were they frozen with salt? Or
I went back to it. No. They were like...
They were like tropical, like rum drinks.
It was like boat punch.
Yeah, orange juice and rum and shit like that, yeah.
Yeah. And I just went back to the room so hammered and just went to the...
Head?
The food? No, the food. The buffet.
Yeah.
Got a plate of food, laid in bed and ate it, and then fell asleep for a couple hours.
Too bad that didn't make the video.
Yeah.
I think it was videoed. I think...
Did I shoot you?
I think Kyle did, but I think that Push just loves me enough not to include things like that. Like, it was not my finest moment.
It was a really good time, and you guys can follow along the Bruce Cruz video. So to answer your question, we didn't do Speedos, but we did Nutters, essentially. Like Nutter bathing suits, which I don't think we wore enough.
I don't remember taking them off.
They were definitely off.
Cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that didn't make the video.
That didn't make the video, no. I think part of the problem was we had a big group, but we were kind of split off. I didn't really see anybody. We didn't do like a big grand entrance in our blazers. We had those white blazers made. Yeah,
there's
the
no
tank
group
tops.
Shot.
There's no group shot at all.
No, not at all.
No.
And that disappoints me greatly.
It does.
Yeah.
Me also.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah.
You sound pissed.
Oh, I'm fuming right now.
Yeah. It was a good time.
It was
a good time.
And would you do it again? Like next year. Will you do it next year if they invite us?
Yeah, I will.
I would too.
Because, I mean, the last night made it for me. Like that last night of just pumping quarters into that terrible machine.
God, yeah, the casino, man.
Until they turned it off.
It was so fun.
It was a good time.
It was great. There were a couple of really good memories.
Brendan, you should come out for it next year.
Maybe. We'll see how we go. it's not hard for me to get here. I was just thinking that I had so much on at that time of the year. It was just terrible. But
yeah, we had
in
what?
March.
I had a homebrew comp a week later.
No, yeah.
You know, that I was running. You know, so that was just too much that time of the year for me to try and get into. And you don't want to see a mean speedos either.
Well, no, I don't. I don't.
Literally every single person I saw in Speedos, I didn't want to see in a Speedo.
Yeah, I can't think of a single person that I want to see in a Speedo.
Yeah, no.
I mean, there's a couple.
Hard pass.
Yeah. Maybe there's a couple chicks in the bar now that I would, but it's, you know, other than that, no, nobody wants to see. Nobody.
Like her?
Yeah, I don't know why people wear Speedos. I mean, it makes them feel good or whatever, but it literally never looks good on anybody, even like buffed out handsome guys.
You need
like
range of motion.
You have a cup, enough beer.
Do you though?
Yeah, you look good in
I don't want to be restricted when I'm in a pool.
But what are you doing? Like jackknifing underwater and like doing like aerobics?
I got to be ready for anything.
You do. Especially you.
Right.
All right, Warren.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
we're just going. Let's do the Twitter game, dude.
Okay.
And then get out of here. We got tacos to eat.
What was
the Twitter game?
The Twitter, it's not too late. It is too late. The Twitter game was, we're coming out with a line of pull string dolls to appeal to the younger crowd, getting ready for the next generation of BN listeners. So what are we going to have the dolls say when you pull the string?
I like you call them pull string dolls. It's very, 1800s.
Oh, I tried to Google the name of what they're actually called, but that's all I saw.
But it's fine.
I don't think they have it. I think they're just called dolls. Talking dolls.
Talking dolls.
Walking, talking, living, walking, living doll. Oh, sorry.
Okay, I don't know what that's from.
Thank you. It's a song.
Okay.
Just singing.
Scotty B says, "It moves, you lose. Boner chicken."
That's a good one.
Decent.
Brian says, "Tasty doll ask my wife for side boob pics." Beardy's doll asks ridiculously complex questions, and I can't understand Doc's doll. Codfish 116 says,
"That's my favorite."
JP's doll won't shut the fuck up about Disneyland.
Well, that's true, and that reminds me. So, what they're doing in the parks now?
What are they doing? Nelson says, "Tasty doll. Yep." Doc's doll, inaudible slurring.
Seeing a theme.
Yeah. Which is weird because it'll actually recur again. Ricky says, "Tasty. Hey, kid, is your mom home? Bevo.
I like how sometimes he goes from like lovable scamp to grandfather type to total child predator. Right. Well, in the same show.
He's asking about the kid's mom, not the kid.
Oh, okay.
Is your mom?
Sorry.
I guess sometimes I see what you did.
I guess sometimes you hear what you want to hear.
Yeah, all right. My brain went to pedophile also.
Okay, good, all right.
I thought he was looking for the kid's mom.
No, that makes more sense. It's still going down as creepy tasty on my list.
Yeah.
Bevo says, don't judge me. Rude. this one says, when you pull Warren's beard, it says, who's there?
Okay, that's not bad.
JP says, IPAs are for chumps.
I do say that.
And Doc just mumbles.
Got a lot of Doc mumbling.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to Doc?
I try not to.
Austin.
I should have been writing these down. Good.
Well, that was all one. That was all one tweet somehow.
The 150 characters or whatever
right?
it is.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't know how he did it.
You've been saying one tweet for 5 hours?
Well, no, that whole the list of five dolls.
Okay.
Austin wrote, knowing the BN, they'd forget to install the pull strings.
That's true.
Addison says, shut the fuck up, Beardy. I'd imagine that'd be a Justin doll. Or it could be anybody, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Marcus says, hey, JP, can you do the show for me this week? Tell him I'm sick or tweaking the website or something.
Who was that?
Marcus.
That's really that makes good. The list.
Yeah.
or something.
Or something. William says, I'm the master of the low hug.
That's good, too.
Matt Double H says, Janet's Brown. Janet's. That's got a little Janet in it. Janet's Brown. Vinny said they'll definitely do Janet's again. JM says, a Bevo doll that says, you'll never make my top 10 list.
Okay, all right.
Louis says, cans. That's right, cans. I love it in the can.
Me, Jumpy Say Doll.
Mm-hmm. St. Clair says, the Vinny puppet saying, touch the felt.
Wow, old school.
Yeah.
Very old. Wow.
Brandon says, not sure what it would say, but the information would be awesome and the audio would suck. Sean says, last one, JP's would obviously be an unfunny joke like, did you ever think about not putting hops in there?
Hey, that's classic. That's my go-to.
It's funny every time.
It's funny every time.
Is it?
I don't know.
Steven, Sean doesn't think so.
So I admittedly forgot that I should probably be writing these down. So I started with when you said like typical BN, they wouldn't produce the pull string.
Yeah.
Was there anything funnier before that you wanted to add?
The guy with five was pretty funny. Like each one was.
Well, there was the list of five.
Okay, list. I'll just put list of five.
You not shutting up about Disneyland.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll leave that one out. I'll leave me out.
Yeah. And then there was the Tasty asking about side boob and me with a ridiculously complex question, not understanding Doc. And then the
you had a complex question one?
Well,
how did I miss that one?
It was the Tasty doll asks my wife for side boob pics. Beardy asks a ridiculously complex question.
Is that the list of five?
No.
Okay. All right. Side boob question.
And then I can't understand Doc.
Okay. Who was that? Who said that?
That was Brian.
Brian.
And then there was, it moves, you lose, double boner chicken.
Okay.
Double boner chicken.
Double boner chicken.
No, not double. I added.
So, okay, here's what I'm going with. I'm going with the BN. We wouldn't install the pull strings. Marcus, oh, man, I wrote cover, and I don't know what that means. What did Marcus say?
Oh, I think that was the one as Justin.
Oh, yeah, can cover for Justin. Week. Okay, yeah. Because that hits close to home. Bev said, she would say, don't judge me rude. It's pretty much her exact vocabulary all the time.
Yeah, that was the list of five.
Don't judge me.
Hey, kid, is your mom home?
Oh, that was in the list of five?
Yeah, so that was, hey, kid, is your mom home? Don't judge me.
Yeah.
When you pull my beard, I ask who's there.
I don't understand that one.
Because I can't see.
He can't see
very well.
And there's no pull string. You just pull his beard.
Oh.
Okay. If you have to explain it, it's not as funny, people.
Right. Okay, so list of five.
And then IPAs are dumb, or are for chumps.
They are.
It's from you and Doc Mumbles.
There was one saying, shut up, Beardy, though, wasn't
it? Yeah, there was just, yeah, that was just it.
Yeah, that was all right.
Justin Doll saying, shut the
fuck up.
Yeah. And then I got Warren Doll with Tasty asking for side boob. And then I forget the rest of that. From Brian.
Right, that was those two and Doc. He can't understand Doc.
Okay. So I got Brian in there with the side boot photos. Marcus asking me to cover for Jay. The guy with the list of five, and the BN would forget to install the pull strings. I think the BN forgetting to install the pull strings is pretty good. I'm voting for that.
Funny and accurate because
yeah,
he would assign it to Justin would assign it to himself. Justin would be like, "I'm going to do that," and then he wouldn't do it, and then it would somehow be somebody else's fault.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that.
But the audio box would still be in the doll.
Yes. So yeah. There's no way to add.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm voting for. Pull string.
I will second that vote.
All right. Anybody else?
I wasn't going to go for that one.
All right. What are you going to go for, Warren? You vote.
I was going to go for the list of five.
List of five?
Yeah.
Brendan, you get a vote here, too. What do you
want?
Oh,
okay. I wasn't really listening, but...
Neither was I.
I can definitely say you guys wouldn't install the pull strings. That's a given, that one.
We wouldn't do that?
No, you wouldn't do
that. Is that what you're voting for?
Yeah, I'll put
yeah,
that
right.
Oh!
So who said that one?
That's the Austin.
From, Austin.
It's at Agro Brew.
They're not from Texas, are they?
I hope
might
not.
Change
I don't
my
know.
Vote.
I can't see that. I think his name's Austin.
Good job, Austin. Hey, we got a message from the chat real fast. What would you use to clean a new brew pot with before using it for the first time? PBW.
Yep.
I was going to say cleanser. Comet.
Is it stainless steel?
I'm just kidding.
What?
Is it stainless? I'm guessing it's
stainless steel.
What if it's not?
Well, I don't know. I've got aluminium, so I don't know.
Okay. You mean aluminum?
Aluminium?
Yeah. You mean aluminum? Do you also work in a laboratory?
It's spelled aluminium.
Yeah. Aluminium. The rest of the world spells it the correct way.
Is your radiator leaking?
You're right.
Radiator, yes.
Oh, man. When you cook, do you use herbs?
Yes.
Yeah, you with would.
A herb.
Not herbs?
Not herbs. There's a whole letter there that's missing out, you know?
It's silent. Yeah, PBW, man. That's what I would use.
Yeah.
All right, Warren, are we ready to get out of here?
If you want to.
I think that's a yes.
You're a piece of shit.
I mean, I'm enjoying myself.
Okay, great. We did everything.
Have you done all your reading?
Before you go, I just want to say a big shout-out to everyone in the Inner Sydney Brewers. You know,
you can't do it. Sorry, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Pissed off. My local homebrew club, yeah.
It's pronounced Pice, by the way. It's Pice Oof.
Pice Oof, yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah, just want to say a big hi to everybody, and enjoy tomorrow night, because I won't be there. We meet tomorrow night. Peter Simons is coming to talk, which is on next week. Here.
That's right, yeah. It's a bronze brews,
yes.
Which is about just kind of, old school homebrewing in Australia, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Fascinating. I have his book. I haven't flipped through it yet. I got to read it.
I'm about a third of the way through. So
that's good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Very interesting read, you know, especially when, for me, it's local breweries and things like that, and beers that, you know, my father used to drink and things like that. So, you know, but he's on next week, and he'll be here tomorrow night on the... at our brew club meeting, so
that's cool.
Everyone enjoys that.
I like Peter. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's so nice. I'm really disappointed. I'm going to miss that.
You're not going to be here next week?
Fuck!
I go to Disneyland.
Oh.
I'm hosting that show, I think, by the way.
I don't think you are.
Club 33 or whatever it is again? Or
I hope so, but no.
Is it 33?
No, my in-laws
are it's Club 33, yeah.
Will you guys shut up about Disneyland?
Let's change the winner. All right, Warren, are you ready now?
Oh, I was ready before.
All right, here we go. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you to Drew and Denny, and check out their Homebrew All-Stars book. It's seriously really rad. Check it out. If you're going to buy it through our Amazon link. And, take it away, Warren.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Drew Beecham and Denny Kahn were here to talk about introspection and their new book about homebrewers worth learning from. We had some Aussie friends bring us some upside-down beer and some chalky bickies. Merge your love of Disneyland with your lack of engaging podcasts by going to earsuppodcast.com as JP, Terrence, Bevo, and Taryn talk about all things Disney. Go check out Moscow's Hop Cartoons over at hoplifestore.com. Get on Twitter for some good beer insight and homebrew info. Follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew and Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. And Nate Warren's even adding over to the noise over at Another Beardy. Tonight's show will eventually be produced by Bevo, and JP pushed some buttons, moved some sliders, and said some words. Be sure to follow the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. JP's an asshole, Justin's a nice guy, and when